This episode brought to you by Syrup Co. Syrup Co. makes simple syrups for your cocktails, coffee drinks, sodas, and more. Nate and Jacob started Syrup Co. in 2020 as a way for people to create tasty drinks at home that are easy to make and super accessible. They cook, bottle, and label every single bottle themselves right in Salt Lake. From their roasted jalapeno syrup using fresh roasted jalapenos to their cherry pie syrup using tart cherries from a small orchard in Willard, Utah. They try to use the freshest and most local ingredients when making their syrups. With fantastic flavors and an Instagram full of recipes, they will not let you down. Find their syrups at a handful of locations and buy directly on their website by going to www.syrupco.com. Use the code TASTEMASTERS upon checking out on their website for 15% off your order. That's right. Tell them we sent you. Plug in the code TASTEMASTERS and save 15% off your order. Until the next syrup, my friends. You're listening to the Taste Masters, where we delve into the world of craft beer, liquor, and other beverages. All right, guys, this is going to be an epic episode. No pun intended, because you used to work at Epic, right, Jack?
Yeah.
No pun intended. So, back in the day, we did a recording with Jeff and Jack, proper episode. You remember that one, boys? And we talked about Jack's fridge. I don't know if you guys remember that one.
I sure do. Jack, you mentioned making that.
And you said that you had two fridges, one at work and one at home, that we needed to clean out, basically. So, this is Jack's fridge episode. This is your Jack Fridges episode.
The sign that I'm really making it in life is I have multiple refrigerators.
With beer that you've collected over the years. So then I have Jack, Jeff, and Lauren. Lauren!
Hey!
Long time no see.
Hi, Lauren.
How you doing?
Up? I'm good. How you doing?
Fantastic. You ready to open Jack's fridge?
Yes. So we just maybe.
Pandora's box of love.
There you go. So we just opened it. Jack, tell us about your fridge.
So, as
no pun
things
intended.
Have progressed, as things have progressed in this career in this industry, you know, you go through waves of obsession over certain styles of beer, over certain breweries, this and that. I mean, I travel and I spend way too much money and procure as much as I could and bring it all back with me, finding nefarious ways to transport it. Some of it, like smuggling it in my luggage on airplanes, some of it in my car. But it never really had any intent other than just, you know, you acquire something, you forget that you have it, and you don't find a good occasion to drink it, and then you just talk about the fact that you have it. And it's come down to the point where I have this, like very random collection of bottles and cans in this fridge, and multiple fridges, apparently. and now it's time to, you know, clean house. Like, it's become, there's really no rhyme or reason. There's nothing like, oh, I've been collecting this one particular brewery for a long time, or this one style for a long time. It's just like, this is a smattering of everything, and it's time to take the garbage out.
No, I appreciate the invite.
Let's do some trash picking right now.
It's not that good a beer.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It's all going to be terrible. Yeah. A lot of drain pours.
All oxidized.
It's okay.
It's all good.
Lauren, what did you just pour us by chance?
I didn't pour this.
Oh, shit. Who poured? Jack, did you pour it?
I poured it for myself.
We bought the...
I poured my own.
Yeah. So this first one is actually a collaboration between Sawtooth and Proper Brewing Company. This is our first collab as a company a few years ago. Sawtooth Brewery owners and brewers are good friends of ours. We went up there to take care of that particular brew. It was a lovely trip. This is called Nutkin. It's a Belgian dark strong ale. Very much straightforward Belgian dark strong. Nothing like too out there. You know, it is what it is. We were really stoked with it at the time. It's sat in the back of the fridge for a few years, so it's had plenty of time
and
to lager.
What year did you make this by chance? You said a couple years ago.
2019?
Yeah. 18 maybe. 18.
I think 2018?
Yeah.
Before the world ended in 2020?
Yeah. No, it was at least maybe even 17, honestly.
Shit, you ain't got no date on her.
Yeah, it's been
what
a while.
What you want me to do?
But yeah, it's interesting.
You guys tried it yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's soft.
It's really soft. Not oxidized too much.
Yeah, like barely.
It's pretty malty sweet.
And there's that really nice kind of like undercurrent of like
It smells like
raisin and like tart cherry. Like,
I get
like
it. Undercurrant.
Like a rum raisin cake.
Yeah, give me some notes on this. Let me know what you think.
It reminds me a lot of so I used to make eggnog. I stopped because I couldn't drink enough of it. So I've got like eggnog from 2015, 16, 17 in my fridge, and I wouldn't say that the flavors are right on, but certainly the approach. It's just like you drink it and you're like, I did put booze in this, right? It's like, yeah, no, it's there. It's good.
Nice. I mean, Jeff, what do you think about this one?
I'm surprised it has held up this long. It tastes really clean. It's smooth, and it's like baking spice, rum raisin, for sure.
Rum raisin, I like that.
Yeah, that's kind of what it reminds me of the most.
And honestly, I can't say it's changed much since we originally made it. Like, it's
really?
It's pretty much like it might have like mellowed in a nice way since then, but it's very much the same beer.
I just look at it. It's 9.2%. It's not hot. No. It doesn't taste hot to me at all.
It's spreadable.
Dangerous.
Man, I'm going to steal that term, Lauren.
As beer spreadable.
I smeared that on my tongue.
I smeared that everywhere. Nice. I'm going to bathe in it.
So what's the latest, or what's another collaboration? I mean, after Sawtooth, what happened after Sawtooth? Did you guys do another collaboration? Did you?
Yeah, we've done a couple of them. And
what's the most recent?
Not with Sawtooth.
With Sawtooth.
With you.
With you, man.
No. Let's talk about
Sawtooth. Your most recent collaboration we did. Oh, my goodness. We just did it a few weeks ago. You remember?
I do remember. I was here. No, but with Sawtooth, what's that
collaboration? We did another one later on here, this location on Main Street, and that was like just a pale ale.
Hmm.
That was okay. It was like... I just say that because it was like a lower strength. It was a 5% draft one. We kind of threw in some new yeast and some new hops that we had, and it wasn't really like we could predict what that would become.
Right.
So it was good. It was just like not as stellar as you're always like hoping for like this like combination of everything to make something, you know, on a higher plane.
Just epic.
Sometimes the collaboration just gives you something that's okay.
Gotcha.
That one wasn't as great, but...
I mean, are you going to do another Sawtooth in the future?
And yeah, they've reached out.
Reached out during Idaho, and they want to do another one. So
what's the ETA, potentially?
I'm not sure. I want to get a few going with a few people. So obviously yours is on the docket. But I talked to the boys at Breakside, as well as Grains of Wrath. Who else? There was somebody else.
I get asked by people out in New England all the time.
There's a few that I want to get going, but like, I think the whole goal by the end of the year, I want to get a few just to make sure. Not only, it's good marketing for both breweries, whatever it is, but it's just fun to connect with someone else from another brewery. Yeah. You learn their style. You learn how they keep, you know, their brew house, their cellar. They learn from you, so you learn tricks of the trade from each other, and you get to market each other, which is good. Yeah. It's good for the community, or like the brewing community in general. And that's the way that this job should be. No one should be this cutthroat about it.
Yeah.
Like, we're all in competition, but there's no excuse to say that you can't be friends with everyone.
Yeah. So Lauren, that brings me to the question for you. I mean, you come from Uinta, right? So you just had a collaboration with Roosters, correct?
Yeah.
So tell me, I want to know about this collaboration. Because, I mean, Uinta doing a collaboration, that's a big deal, right? Uinta is one of the big, probably if not the big dog in Utah in a way, right? You guys are the biggest?
Sure, yeah.
So what was it doing?
We put out some stuff.
With you just walked away with 5 medals.
We put out some beer.
We did.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
And Jack and Jeff, congrats on the my favorite beer of 2021 winning silver. I like that. I would have given it 2 gold, but
we were just trying to keep up with her. Cleaning house.
I was gonna say,
no, but
I was like, I gotta go work for her.
But Lauren, tell me about this collaboration. Super
award winning bear.
Yes. So the collaboration that I have going with Roosters, Jackie King and I over there, we've got a beer called Jetway Juicy. And so this was actually born out of we have a new airport location, Uinta does. And before the Roosters location opened up, we had to have a Roosters tap on at Uinta. I don't know what the logistics were, but the president of the company said, yo, let's like make this a collab.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, we should do that. And so we did that. And so, yeah, Jackie and I got together a few times, smelled stuff, tasted stuff, kind of just figured out what we wanted and ended up with Jetway Juicy.
I love it. And so, I love the label, by the way. It's really
thank
cool.
You.
Did you guys argue about putting lactose in a beer?
Oh, no, that wasn't an argument. I just wasn't going to fucking do it.
I love it. What about, how did she convince you to do a Juicy? Or did you guys?
Oh, no, Juicy's cool.
But you're okay with Juicy's?
Yeah.
It's not lager, it's not has lactose.
It's got the alliteration thing going on too, so
I like it a lot.
You know, I like that.
Yeah. When's it come out? Is it already out?
Oh yeah, it's out.
Oh yeah, so you can get it at the airport, and can you get it at the both locations?
Yep.
At Roosters and the Uinta? I guess Roosters has multiple locations, but you can get it everywhere?
Yep.
Oh my god.
No, I mean not everywhere, but at the Roosters locations that exist and the Uinta locations. So that means airport and brewery for both breweries.
It's pretty epic.
If that makes sense.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Speaking of, Jeff was just talking about doing collaborations with other breweries. Is there a chance we could see a proper Uinta in the future?
God, I hope so.
What's it going to take to make that happen?
I mean, I'm here right now. Fire it up. Let's go.
We'll restart the day.
Let's get the kettle going.
We're staying here. Let's do it.
I got enough
of everything. We can brew something.
Gotcha. So I don't know where Jack went, but he went into the fridge to get another beer. So should we try it? You guys done with this one?
Let's go. Sorry.
I'm not near the mic. I'm not done with this. I'm just prepping. Preparing. Yeah, this one might need a little minute to wake up. This has been in my fridge for...
Grab a brush, put on a little makeup.
6 years now? 7 years?
6 years. Jack, what are you opening for us?
This is Crooked Stave Florida Lee Indigenous Wild Ale 2014. And I bought this. You want the backstory, all these.
Yes, I want all the backstories.
I got this at Mr. B's, a wonderful liquor store in Denver, which can't wait to go to next week. For CBC, but Mr. B's has probably the best like selection. If you can't find it like in there and it's like anywhere from the region or Colorado, like you won't find it.
Really?
But I found some amazing stuff there and I've selfishly held onto this beer for far too long, so time to open it up.
So when's the last time you guys all had a Crooked Stave beer?
Not recently.
It's been a minute.
Probably last time I was in Denver, which was a few years ago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd say 2018. I went there with Breakside for GABF.
Gotcha.
And that was the last time
I had
one
2 months ago. Went out there for like a little quick 3-day weekend with the lady. And they had beets and carrots in a spontaneous sour.
Dude,
that sounds fun.
So it was fantastic, actually. It was funky. There's every flavor in the world.
I'm not going to.
But I'm excited to see this one.
Yeah, this I just opened that. That's really delicate, actually. But it smells pretty awesome.
I gotta prepare my glass. I'm nervous.
Yeah, you do.
I'm nervous. This label struck me, and just the style struck me when
it's
first
classy as hell.
Yeah, it's really classy. It is. Like gold wax and everything.
Yeah, looks good.
What's your guys' opinion on waxing beers? I know we talked about this last time you guys were here, but you guys obviously hate waxing beers, right? Like,
doesn't
I
think make it looks better.
I think it looks beautiful. It just it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Totally. Lauren, do you guys wax any of your beers over there?
No.
you only just did the cork that. And cage, right?
It's been a while since we've had that lovely machine up and running. I have my fingers crossed that it'll be revived someday. But I have wax dipped my fair share of Part of Bloom, so Rev as well.
I was gonna say, imagine at that scale, it's just
that'd be a nightmare.
It's terrible.
Yeah, I don't know. Maker's Mark says they hand dip everything, so
But they probably pay like people.
It's one
for
of the
that specific
no.
Thing.
It's like
I'm
it's
a
the what do you call it? The temp workers. You're calling temp workers in just to dip.
Or seasonals, right?
Yeah.
So every year come in.
Call the agency, get some people over, and start dipping wax.
It's kosher, right?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Done.
I'd do that for a day.
Yeah, I mean. Maybe.
Half day.
Maybe. Is that a quarter day? An hour, call good?
Hey, it's still only $7.25 an hour is the federal minimum wage, so will you do it for a full day?
God, no chance.
Screw that.
Let's do it. Let's jump in. Here, you first.
Wax dip looks great.
It does.
It's just a pain in the ass.
But the Maker's Mark, I mean, it's down the whole neck of the bottle, and
they've won awards for that. So that's where I question, like, how they consistently
Because, like, getting a good drip on the wax like that is actually, like,
thing they want they awards judge. For the dripping of yes, the wax?
100%. What competition is that?
I don't know, but that? I know that that is an actual competition.
I want to judge that. Can I have you look us up?
This wax isn't dripped you know long what? Enough down
the
neck.
This one's too a Caribbean wax. I don't
get
like that.
Get out my measuring tape.
You know, this red is too deep a red. I needed a lighter one.
Gotcha. Too bulbousy on that one.
I don't know. Nobody buys bottles anymore either, so it's hard to, you can't wax dip anything. Like, the one thing that proper, for example, I don't know anywhere else because I can't speak for anyone else, but we can't sell bottles for shit anymore, so we have to switch entirely to cans.
All right, so let's start a trend here. Let's wax dip cans.
I know we have talked about that.
We know somebody We know
Ellie. So they started
the
doing
highlight?
This like
I have a Miller High Life in my house.
Oh,
I've seen it.
We can do it.
Yeah,
I just don't think everyone will like that.
Dip your own is like a thing that Red Rock started doing for the Party Bloom, which is so smart. Like, why pay somebody to dip that when you can have somebody come and like put it on Instagram?
Cool.
Like, that's excellent.
Yeah.
That's good.
I dip a Pacifico.
Pretty clean.
I really would.
Really Ellie took a can of High Life and just like clean dipped it. And
an
I think
oil
she's done
can
it a few
too.
Times
it's
now,
an
so.
Oil can.
Stop.
It's a big boy.
Makes me
full
so happy.
Blown. Yeah. Yeah.
She made some waves with that one. I think that day so she almost good. Got kicked out, but they were kidding. I don't know.
Hey man, if you can't have fun and joke about your industry, then you're get out of here.
To be honest,
we make beer. You should be joking
comment
about
is
it.
Is perfect for this episode because, to be honest, like all these beers probably would be like some of these would be sought after as like trades in years past and stuff. For me, it's like why make it like extra work to
well,
enjoy
beer's supposed
beer.
To be drank.
Yeah,
you like, shouldn't. Yeah,
I shouldn't have held onto these this long. So the fact that we're drinking them now is like let's just enjoy it.
The fact that this one is as old as it is and it's tasting this good.
Yeah, it's actually really smooth.
It's got like some green tea, like mint mojito, something going on. A little lemon in there too.
Totally.
That's good.
Yeah, lemon pith.
Well, and the Brett's not too like barnyardy and like kind of.
No, like this is
that
the
weird
level of baby vomit that I can handle.
Yeah, poopy. The poopy.
Is that an acquired taste,
yeah,
Jack?
Yeah.
How do you measure that? Metric or imperial?
What was the one we were doing last time?
The poopy
time?
Or
was
the
it
vomit?
A metric.
A skosh.
It's a skosh vomity.
It's a skosh vomity.
Yeah.
A
metric skosh.
Metric skosh.
It's pretty floral, though, as it sits.
It is.
It's pretty.
Nice.
That's a wild beer. That's crazy.
I'll save that little bit for Matt there. When he done. Honey bucket.
I don't know. It's got that bread smell, though. It always throws me off.
I'm not.
In the beginning.
I'm
just like.
Right now, I don't like bread.
I don't either, really.
I don't like it at all.
I love it.
Interesting.
I'm like
that with lactic acid. I hate lactic acid. I just kettle sours. I just don't. They're not my jam. Sorry. I'll try them. But
you got to make them because that's what the public wants.
I know.
But I have yet to meet a brewer that's like all about it. Honestly. Maybe when I was
Touché.
In Oregon and they were like, oh yeah, kettle sours. But I equivalate that to the time frame in which it was because the evolution of beer styles throughout the states is like, you know. Hazies took over, and everyone's all about the hazies. Same thing with kettle sours. Brett beers had their day in the sun. But remember the time when it was Belgian IPAs, 2010 to about 13? Everybody wanted that. Nobody wants those now.
Are we going to see hazy seltzers or?
Hazy seltzers all
day.
Let's
go.
I'll make those.
Let's go. Hazy seltzer.
Hazy seltzer.
Doesn't taste hazy enough.
You reminded me of a term that Lauren and Jackie created recently, which was trash-ditional, which I really like.
Trash-ditional?
Trash-ditional.
That's a good one.
But what was it in relation to when you came up with that? It was like you were talking about like we like drinking lagers, but we'll make the things that all the people want, which is hazies and stuff like that.
I'm going to have to look it up because I don't even remember the conversation. Yeah. We were just like boom, 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 boom.
And it was over social media, so I just remember watching you guys like play it out over like your two accounts. And I'm like, what is happening? This is hilarious. But yeah, like we make the things that we like. We like lager beers,
right?
We make tons of those.
I'd be a lager house in a
heartbeat
if I could.
Right. But, absolutely. But we still have to.
But nobody wants lagers.
Pour ourselves out and make hazies.
As brewers,
I do too. That's all I want.
We're all brewers at this table. Is it hurt you guys a little bit that traditional and pure styles are kind of
thing of the past.
Yeah, in a way.
Yeah.
Almost frowned upon. Thing of the future.
Maybe come back.
I keep hearing this thing about pilsners and lagers coming back, and it's been about 6 years, and they ain't coming back.
Just keep saying
no.
it.
No. Oh,
keep
yeah.
saying
I will
it,
keep saying it to me sales, and my friends.
The sales have not
no,
like, met I, up with that at all.
General population should drink more lagers.
Totally.
I am so done with hazies. I'm so done with all this crud
or all that.
So how do you go about?
They do drink a lot of it.
Educating the general public. How do you go about that?
I don't know. And then I mean, they ain't gonna listen to us.
The approach constantly is like, I want to make something just slightly better than Bud Light. And I've heard that so many times throughout my career. It's like the people that drink Bud Light are never gonna not.
No, they're never gonna do it. It's the same. It's core
and. And you offer them a Coors Light, they're going to be like, well, it's not Bud Light. I don't want that.
Right.
Well, and, you know, I get it. They
with that accent, huh?
With that accent.
Yeah, hey, they perfected a style and they got their market. Like, that's cool. Like, I respect that completely. But don't come to me and say, oh, just if you make it a little better. Because every craft brewery has. You just don't want it.
Yeah. Right.
Is, yeah.
So.
801, for example, that thing is the shit. It's crushable. I don't know what your sales are, but I mean, it's like, but trying to convert a Coors drinker to that is like, I mean, you know, it's hard. It's very hard.
It was like our number 8 seller, which I'm pretty stoked on. I was like, oh, it's in the top 10.
Yeah,
it was just for like last month.
But it should be.
Los Angeles was at 10.
It should be in the top 3, though, because it's so crushable and so like easy to drink. You can have like 3 of them, go about your day. But,
yeah,
you know, it's, you can't break that.
So what's Proper's number 1 selling beer right now?
Oh geez, you do it better than I.
Well, as of right now, it's the Whispers, Jump the Shark, and Oatface Killer.
Oatface Killer is taking.
It's going up.
those are the top. I mean, Yacht Rock sells like 20 cases a day,
so
which is
killer there too.
Which is huge for us, but because we're so small. But Oatface has just been crushing it.
Good,
and everyone's receiving it really
and
well.
What a fantastic name and label, by the way.
That was fun.
Yeah. I like that.
Oh, God. So, okay. Lauren, I'm going to ask you.
They're touching fingers. Touching you guys tips. Can't see it. It's there.
I don't want to get too sidetracked, but that whole conversation reminded me of a quick story. Hopefully I do it justice. My buddy, my good buddy Phil. Dude, yeah, try that.
Thanks.
My buddy Phil, former brewer that I know, that we know through Epic days. He still homebrews like a fiend. He's a great brewer. But he was working a fest up in Wyoming somewhere, he wasn't like working per se for a craft brewery at the time. He was just serving beer, so he had like Coors Light and Bud Light on tap, and everyone like there is. I mean, it's a little more country fest than you get. So there's people come up like diehard Bud Light fan, diehard Coors Light fan, and they're like, "I will not switch." He runs out of one of the kegs. I think it was Bud Light or something. And this woman comes up, and she's just adamant, like, I gotta have my Bud Light. He's like, I'm out. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I can't give you that. She just starts, like, railing into him about it. And he's like, can you really tell the difference? And she's like, we're dead. And, like, this whole list of things, like, why she won't drink it. And apparently, he wasn't able to serve her because she would refuse to have the beer that she didn't like. But it turns out, like, 5 minutes later, he goes to check the keg. Turns out he had him switch the whole time.
Oh, shit.
So no one choosing one or the other was even drinking the beer that they thought they were.
Oh, shit.
So that's the whole point is like
man.
That sort of thing. Like, nobody drinks it for
it's all the
flavor. It's,
well,
it's all the marketing.
It's
all
marketing
the branding.
Thing.
It's all just it's
and that's
all
the weirdest
silliness.
Thing to come to terms with that definitely I've noticed over the last, like, 2-3 years is, like, it doesn't matter what you brew. You could really love it, but it's all about how you market it.
Yeah.
If you don't market it right, no one's going to give a shit about it. Like, we made a really good, Beckerman's was always on the
cusp
of being a really fantastic lager, but it was just never marketed good enough. But we marketed it under something else, and it sold. So it's just, it's a difficult thing to try and gauge.
Right. And I know the episode we did at the Pink Boots, Lauren, you can be there for that. I mean, you were there for that one, but... Jackie always said that she's always trying to get on top of the curb.
She wants to set a style trend.
A trend, yeah. She's trying to get, but, like, it's hard to set a trend when you don't know what to set. I'm telling you,
you're trying to hit it before the curve.
Yeah.
You know?
So I mean, hazy seltzers, lactose-infused seltzers. Let's do it.
You're talking to the wrong person. You got to talk to
that person. I'm helping Jackie out. Jackie's listening to
glitter, glitter seltzer.
Glitter seltzers. Glitter seltzer,
pepper-infused seltzers.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, essential oil. doTERRA meat seltzers. Boom.
Oh, doTERRA.
It would blow up.
Okay. Yeah, Brett seltzers.
Brett seltzers. Shout out to Louise.
Man, we're going to create some nasty shit off this. Like, some people are going to take this for real.
Britannia Agua.
Britannia Agua. Agua Seas.
Copyright, you went to Brewing Company.
All right, Laura.
Words God. Back in your mouth
we,
right now.
We all heard it.
So if we see a Britannia,
you heard it here first, folks.
That is Lauren and Uinta's beer right now.
So anyone else that starts that,
yeah,
is a copycat.
Yeah, that's right. We started the trend. Sorry, right. Sorry, Jackie, we're
sorry,
here.
Jackie.
I don't know what's the next one. Let's should we do
or sour
or sour?
Or sour. It's probably a sour.
I don't know. We can't do a stout. God, let's do another sour. Let's do. I'm gonna do the epic. Let's do epic. So I have some epic questions for you.
No, do the regular first, and then the sage.
Well, in betweener,
if anybody. Got it. Oh my goodness! An 801, yes.
She brought a palate cleanser.
Just a little bit.
I'm happy.
Lauren,
what a gold medal winning pilsner.
How did your neck feel after that competition, Lauren?
It must hurt.
Did your back pain? You have low back pain.
I got good number for a chiropractor.
So I'm smelling this right now, Lauren, and I get a lot of fennel. Oaky fennel.
I'm getting a lot of crispy boy in this one.
Yeah, all I hear is
now with extra crispy.
Crispy.
Boy.
This one's extra metal.
This one smells like metal.
Yeah.
Gold metal, that is.
Well played.
That's nice. Lemon.
Pepper. Yep, plenty of lemons in there. We threw a whole peppers.
Lemon peppers.
Shit. I knew it.
I can't even give a straight.
I'm going to get fired now for telling you guys my secret.
The secret.
Candy corn.
Lots of pills.
Mm. Candy corn. 801 candy corn.
Yeah, you got it.
You got to get ready for Halloween.
I can't believe it. But before we open this this next beer, question, Jack, for those who don't know, you used to work at Epic. Correct?
I sure did.
So tell me a little bit about the Epic days, if you will.
Well, it's how I met my lovely husband and life partner, Jeff. No, he and I literally did start the same week, though. And
he did.
Have you know, made the mistake of
Sniffing continuing. Each other's butts ever since.
Yeah, oh, wow.
That's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
It was a formative experience for sure. I was the second job that I got when I moved to Utah. It was maybe a month after I moved here. And ran with it, and it's been really beneficial, to be honest. Can't ask for a better start in the industry. Met a lot of wonderful people there, made a lot of great beer, one of them sitting in front of me. The fact that I've held on to it this long is kind of mind-blowing. I'm looking at it, I'm thinking back to like probably 8 years ago.
An overnight shift.
Yeah, and over some terrible overnight.
Yeesh.
But no, truly, like, the experience was fantastic. I've maintained a lot of great lifelong friendships and connections through that place.
Well, that's awesome. I had a question about the Epic. I feel like, and this is for you guys as well, I feel like Epic's been kind of quiet lately. Why is that?
I wouldn't know.
I mean, I haven't heard. I don't see him around. I don't hear him. I don't
we
see
have
him on
occasional contact with them. Like social if we media, borrow something, or they borrow something from us. Yeah. Or
I don't know. I think they're probably. My speculation would be they're just in a transition period. If anything,
yeah.
I feel like.
I mean, they just got a canning line that they bought off Keto.
Yeah,
so like,
gotcha.
Maybe they're kind of revamping.
I'm sure they're
stuff.
Just trying to like get all their ducks in the row before they come out.
Who's the head brewer over there right now?
Jordan, Jordan Schubacher. He's been their head. What?
I like that.
What?
Schubach.
Schubach. Yeah. He's been their head brewer for, six, 7 years? He's been around for a while.
Even longer,
he went
I
to
think.
School.
UC Davis. UC Davis program.
So I guess technically, if you're going to go it, like, he's the only one in the Valley that can claim brewmaster. Because he actually has schooling behind him.
Sean Smith went to school.
But
he's no longer brewing.
Sorry.
But yeah, you're right.
I don't keep up with a lot of.
That's the only reason
I'm
I know.
I'm reclusive.
He's the one that like, helped me bring me up, Sean Smith.
Oh, yeah.
And now he can't drink beer, so it breaks my heart. Yeah.
But yeah, Jordan did that. Worked at Snake River Brewing for a little bit, and then he got hired on when Kevin Crompton was still the head brewer at Epic, and then Jordan took over with Justin Hyde. And Justin Hyde left to go run
Denver.
The Denver location. He just moved back about 2 years ago, I think, and he is the head brewer at Red Rock now, after Kevin left.
No, Kevin, what? Kevin, there's a Kevin now that's there.
Oh, Kevin Justin Davis is the head brewer at Red Rock.
Oh, okay, what's Justin then?
He's like lead something.
Lead some. Well, Justin Hyde. He's over there now.
Gotcha. Right.
I was like, obviously not head because I don't keep my shit together. But he is
Kevin
there.
Kevin Templin left to get Kevin.
There's so many names. I just can't keep up with shit. But
when they're all Kevin, it's hard.
It is really hard. You had Kevin, you had Kevin Eli, Kevin? You had Kevin Templin. Kevin Crompton.
Whereas with us, it's always J names. It's J like, names. Yeah.
But at
like,
least it's John, Jack.
Jack, Jeff. Juice, Matt.
Yeah.
Jacob.
Matt.
Jabrian.
Jabroni.
Jafil.
All of them.
Jose.
But yeah.
Thank you. George.
Justin Hyde over there now. But yeah, Jordan's kind of the whole run and the whole thing over at Epic now.
Gotcha.
But I think he's just trying to like, map out. I mean, I don't know, but my only speculation would be that they're just trying to map out because they opened up quite a big corridor of things. So I'm sure they're just trying to map out the next move. Would be my guess.
And I hope they do great things. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I mean,
I haven't heard from them since the Big Baptiste series. Honestly, I haven't heard.
Yeah. Maybe you should reach out.
I should
say, hey, yo, what's up? Come tell your story.
Because they are responsible for
there, right?
They're responsible for just pretty much everyone getting their start in the industry in the early. Like,
I need to know these
2010.
Almost me. They missed out by like 2 days.
Dude, we worked with.
Oh, were you trying to get hired there too?
Yeah.
Oh, were you?
They called Epic me Lauren? And I was like, sorry, I just got hired at Red Rock.
Yeah, everyone was getting in. Well, because all of the breweries before they came in were pretty old school. So unless you had knowledge or knew someone, they weren't taking a chance on new hires. But Epic took a chance on a lot of new hires.
Yeah.
So a lot of people got their start in there. I think we all kind of tell it. It's like the brewing school kind of thing.
That's really cool. But look at you guys now. That's pretty awesome.
I was going to say, like, the diaspora of it now is like everybody in around town and the state and probably in the region is from Epic at some point.
Yeah, someone has made their way through it at some point.
That's really cool. It's like humbling in a way.
Yeah. That's really nice because, like, you can look at that experience and you know, harken back to that and, you know, okay, I came up with these guys. And then you go out to these places and they're like, open arms, like come on in.
Let's hell yeah!
It brings a lot of
whatever they do. I hope they do it well, and I'm sure they will.
Absolutely.
Speaking of this beer, I don't know if I mentioned the name yet.
No, go for it, please.
But this is Old Sage Brett. No, sorry, Elder Brett, the original that predated the Old Sage Brett. Sorry, Elder Brett, Saison Brett Golden Ale, and this is number 5, which I'm assuming is from the first 2 years of.
We started that one, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the year.
Elder Brett.
I just know that I've had this since I left that company.
Well, that would have been like 2014, 2015.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. And I just smelled it and it's holding up nicely.
Fennel, lots of fennel.
Fennel, hot dog water.
Pumpernickel.
I'm going to use that one.
Corn dog water.
Trumpet mushrooms.
What do you get, Luis? Come over here and say it in the mic.
Chicken McNuggets.
I get ham and cheese hot pocket.
I say that's pretty close.
You said that real smooth too, so I believe you.
I get that cheese hot pocket.
I get a.
You're listening to the soothing sounds of a ham cheese hot pocket,
podcast. Elder Brett, great name by the way.
And it's actually more delicious than I remember.
Wow, that's really, really nice. That's really good.
Holy shit.
That's a Brett beer I can drink still.
It's the Brett has really tamed
it's
itself.
Mellowed out.
Yeah.
It's mellowed out. Yeah.
That's really nice.
Hold up.
Oh, six.
I get some subtle like tropical.
Is this
stuff
a 1955?
It's like a little bit of like lemon candy, but it's like craft lemon candy. You know, there's like other things in there.
Like somebody made it in their kitchen.
Yeah. All the tax goes to this address, but I make it in my kitchen.
I'm really enjoying this.
Yeah,
this is really nice.
This is putting me through a loop.
I thought this was going
to
be way too like baby diaper bullshit.
I mean, to be
but
honest,
it's, like,
it's been well treated since it was like I have never not had this thing refrigerated.
Hmm.
Diaper, more baby.
Sweet baby.
Less diaper, more baby.
Sweet baby Jesus. His golden fleece diapers.
Not the adult Jesus.
Not the adult.
Baby Jesus.
No, baby. Watching his...
Notes of swaddling
watching
cloth
his baby
hair.
Einstein development tapes.
Is that a manger?
Is that hay?
I get hay in that. Was this the one that he was laying on? This hay bell?
It smells like Jerusalem around the year zero. Bethlehem. God
Bethlehem.
Damn.
Come on.
Boo.
Blasphemy.
Yeah, get out of here.
Let alone I threw a G-dam in there, too.
What wine barrels was this thrown into?
Chardonnay.
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 Yes. Honestly, like, I loved...
Glad it's not so buttery.
Yeah.
Chardonnay just is so buttery all the time.
At the time, but it... Ever since then, I've been terrified of Brett bugs and other stuff like that.
Gotcha. What scares you about Brett bugs?
It's a wild yeast, so, I mean, it's a little bit less, what would the word be?
Containable?
No. Yeah, but...
well, that's all about what kind of crew you have at that point.
Precocious
like.
And other types of bacteria. So, like, it can be managed, but if you let it, like, come into contact stuff, it can really... screw up some beer really quickly.
Gotcha, yeah.
So you got to be careful.
Yeah, like
with
COVID.
Everything.
Like COVID.
It's like COVID.
Here we go.
Anyway, let's move on. That's one of the no-no
there's
talks.
There's Luis.
Some of the no-no
see
talks.
See you,
talk about
have
that.
Have a good day.
All right.
Go away.
Hey, Lauren, question for you real quick.
Yes.
So you were at Idaho Falls and you were judging. Mm-hmm. How does it feel to be judging at a – I think it's a high level you judge at. I think – I love your palate, by the way.
Oh, so, thank you.
When you were judging, what's it like to be sitting there judging all these beers? Is it like walk us through some people who haven't judged before at that a bigger competition? What's it like to just sit there and judge beer after beer after beer after beer?
You got to focus and you got to take tiny little sips and you got to be humble and you got to be so observant and you got to listen a lot. It's a delicate balance and a dance to play the entire day that you're judging, especially if you end up with like three flights per session, which this year was tame, thankfully. But yeah, I just try to teach it as like a learning experience. You sit down with 4 to 5 other judges at a table. I think like 6 is the max, yourself included. So you sit down and you're with people of all different career types. Some people are like, you know, a COO of a company, or they're a brewer, or they're somebody else. They do sales. I don't know. It's a little bit of everything, which I think is awesome because everybody kind of comes at it from a different perspective. But you all sit down, you kind of get to know each other, and then all of a sudden they bring out the samples, and then everybody will go through the different numbered samples. They're just all in little cups labeled with numbers and nothing else. So everybody makes sure they have the correct number to the sheet. And then they sit down, they start to judge. They start filling out sheets, one per beer. Depends on if it's had notes or not before. Every beer gets notes from a judge at least once.
Yeah.
So you sit down, you do that, and then you get to the discussion. And that's the cool part. Some people that you meet, it's like one of the best people I ever judged with, and I don't remember her name. She worked for Budweiser, and she worked in like the higher end. I can't remember what their specific term is for it. But she had the coolest vocabulary of anybody that I've worked with. Huh. And I stopped her afterward. I was like, yo, how do I be you? Like, mm-hmm. That is some cool stuff. Just insane vocabulary, right on with everything.
Small
super
redhead.
Humble.
No,
I don't think
okay.
so.
I'm thinking somebody else.
Maybe.
Okay.
It was a few years ago. But it's just, you kind of get to judge with different people every year. And then some of the same people come back. So it's like old friends and then like new people to learn from. And that's something that I've always really valued about it. And there's usually people that have never judged before at your table too. So you kind of get to play your hand in like trying to be that person for somebody else. You try to point things out to them and you're like, yo, you get this DMS? Like, you getting that? Yep, that's what that is. And like, you just bring people up and other people bring you up. And
that's really cool.
It's like a good time.
Because I hear when people are judging, it's almost tedious, kind of almost sometimes monotonous. It's like, oh shit, my palate's almost wrecked. Especially if like double IPAs, you're like, oh shit, here we go.
Yeah.
But I didn't think of it that way. It's like, well, I don't get this. You're getting, you know, DMS. Like, hey, try it. Like, oh, now I get it. Like, I would like to be in that aha moment. I love that learning
to
moment.
To be honest, though, sometimes that's just table influence, though. Like you might pick something up because somebody else said it.
Gotcha. So, like, I get fruity pebbles.
Power of suggestion.
You got to be careful with that. There's a lot of people can influence other people.
A lot of people end up creating factions within those tables.
Gotcha.
Too.
I just sit there. There's a lot of friendships.
I wasn't going to talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into that.
But I was going to say the key thing, though, is like, yeah, like you're saying, well, palate fatigue is huge because, like,
yeah, but
you'll get you get like 6 or 8 samples, and then suddenly they bring 5 more, or 6 more, and you're like, how am I going to keep all these straight now?
But, right. Yeah. And it's important you keep your own counsel on that.
Exactly.
Though. Don't be influenced by someone else. If you really taste something and you feel strongly about it, then keep voicing it. Yeah. You shouldn't be influenced by anyone else, because I've been on a lot of judge tables where it'd be like, you're trying to bully me into feeling this way about it, but I don't feel that way about it.
Generally, it's
so it's you stick to your principles and you say what you feel about each beer, and so everyone gets a fair shake. Mm. Yeah. You know.
Do you guys feel almost honored to be a judge? Is it kind of kind of cool?
Absolutely.
But you got to be like impartial, like we're saying.
Yeah,
like
you have to be it as unbiased as possible. Yeah. Yeah.
Part of the ego is like, yeah, I get to do this. This is really cool. Like I'm important. I have things that people listen to. But then you have to take that out at the same time. Go. Yeah.
How do I judge that?
How do I make sure that this person's beer that they worked their ass off to make and get here is being judged fairly, regardless of whether I like it or not? I might not like it, but if it fits perfectly within the parameters, then I'm going to push it through.
And it passes.
Yep. And a lot of times that isn't the mindset, you know? Like sometimes it's very much like, I like this one. I want this one to win.
Gotcha. Damn. That's
it. That's where it's like, I have that like problem where you have the, it's weird because it's a total catch-22. You need new palates coming in to be able to crop up the next people to be able to judge further. Yeah. But they are that much more easily susceptible to influence. So you have to hope that they're on a table where someone's not going to influence them. Mm. So it's just making sure that everyone's being as unbiased as possible so everyone has a shot.
Because I was at the Idaho Falls with you guys and being in the room or the venue just like with all the talent there. I mean, Jeff, we talked about this, like, being in one space with all like some of my good friends, and I'm becoming like, I have cool friends. Like my friends are brewers. Like my friends are better than your friends. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's really cool. And the fact that like you guys reach out to me, like Jack, Jeff, we did a collaboration just barely. Like that's really cool. Like that's I left when we talked about the collaboration. I left almost in tears. I called my wife. I'm like, dude, I feel like the coolest person. Like it was one of the most special moments I've ever had in my life, right? And then that happened. And I'm like, they care about my opinion. Who the fuck am I, right?
And we can try that today, too.
Oh, we should try it. Lauren, you want to try our collaboration real quick?
Side note. Yes.
It doesn't have the hazelnut yet.
I still want to try it.
Pepper's fine, remember.
But Lauren, like, but being there, like, just like with all that talent, I was on cloud 9. I didn't need alcohol to, like, just know how awesome that was. And I remember when I first got there, I got there late to the award ceremony, unfortunately, long story short. But I had to go get the beer. I wanted a beer, excuse me. And I was saying hi to everyone. Like, I remember seeing Marcio. I saw Jeff. I saw Kevin. I saw Jamie. Like, I saw everyone. Lisa from Talisman. Like, I saw everyone. I'm trying to make it to the beer line. And, like, there's no disrespect. And Lauren, you said best is Kevin. I talked to Kevin Templin about this, but I said, you can't be an asshole in this community and survive. You can't. We talked about this earlier. Like like you said, Jeff, it's cutthroat. If it's cutthroat, like you're gone.
And if you honestly don't respect what anyone else is doing in this, then you shouldn't be in it to begin with. If you're not seeing the beauty in everybody's beer and what they're producing, you might not like something that they're doing. Oh yeah, like, oh, this beer had diastol, they need to work on this, blah, blah, blah. But we're all here as a community to help each other
reach the next level. Like, let's say someone's beer does have diastol. So how do you guys bring
I would just say, oh, yeah.
You tell them.
Yeah,
you text them. You say, yo, I'm sitting at your bar, and I think this beer tastes like poo.
Me before, like, hey, I get this. So I'm like, thank you. Let's talk about it.
So, like, how do you take that?
You take it constructively.
And then we taste through the beer, and we're like, hey, are we tasting this? Or, you know, it's like, okay, are they more sensitive to this? Do we, like, okay, let's pull it out. Let's see what it is. Luckily for us, instead of like a Uinta Squatters or Wasatch thing, is like if we have to pull beers, it's not as much. So we're kind of lucky in that regard. But it's still like, yes, we take that seriously. And it's all constructive. And we pull it and we try it. And we make sure that we go through it to make sure that it's are they actually tasting this? Like, let's get a bunch of palates in.
Gotcha.
And,
let's,
you know,
let's
I respect anyone's opinion about it. It's like constructive criticism all day. Like, because no one is perfect in this, and you're always learning. That's the fun part, I think, keeps us all in it.
I know I miss stuff, like, all the time. Yeah. Sure. I know there's so much going through our heads, like, as brewers, but, like, just in general as a person, I miss a lot of things. I may catch a lot of things, too, but there's the end of the day, you're like, I need to have those outside influences, that input, that extra perspective to say, hey, I noticed this thing. Did you notice this thing? And that's the approach is, this is what I get. Do you get that? What do you get? Like, have a conversation about it. Don't say, I had this and your beer sucks and I don't like you.
That's all too often
how it's perceived and how it's approached. So it's it's a matter of like, how can we, constructively
My pet peeve is I make a beer and people are like, oh, it's the best beer ever. Like, no.
No, don't say that. Like, what?
No, like, I need some,
there?
Like, give me, come on now. I'm not God.
I was driving to the airport yesterday and we saw this food truck drive by. It said, world's best corn dogs on the side. I'm like, that's a bold claim.
I know that
that's
truck.
That's a bold claim. And it's also not that hard.
So that's what I'm saying. It's like, best don't make overarching statements that you can't back up that.
I like that a lot. That
nobody's beer is perfect and everyone deserves to hear if it's going south. Yeah. Like, and everyone that is in the industry should be very open to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially if it comes from their
colleagues. Going off that, as the colleagues in the industry, Jack, I'm going to tell about something that was really special for me the other day. A couple weeks ago, you and I did a collaboration, and we'll talk about this in detail in a minute, but in the middle of making said beer, we needed a certain ingredient that we didn't have here, and we left proper to go find this ingredient. And we went to, was it two or three different breweries?
Yeah, we hit up the store first.
Right, didn't have it.
Didn't have it. Then Fisher.
The boys didn't have it. Then we hit up, we called a couple other brewers.
We called Hopkins.
Right.
And Keto's. And Keto's didn't answer.
Keto's did Clay, never answers. So, but we ended
showed up, there.
We ended up going to Clay.
What was the ingredient?
Lactose.
I was waiting.
I ain't hesitant to say that sometimes a beer needs
it. We've got like a whole palate.
As annoying as it is. It needs it sometimes.
Yeah, it does. And this
depends on the beer.
It did. Yeah, the style and what we're going for, it needed it. So, but the best part about it was I told the same story. So we went straight to Keto's, and Clay was there with open arms, like, hey, what are you guys doing here? Do you want a beer?
Clay,
like, what do you got?
And answer my text.
He was open arms. He invited Jack and I in, and we talked shop for a second. We looked at his awesome canning line,
by the way.
And he gave us exactly what we needed. We talked shop for a little bit, and it was like the camaraderie was there. And I tell the same story to Kevin Templin, and he goes, I'm closer to Fisher. Why the fuck didn't you call me? Great question.
And I told you at the time, I don't think I have his number anymore.
Yeah.
Last time I contacted him, I didn't get an answer. So
I don't know. But the cool
you
part
do.
About it
you
is.
You have his number.
I got his number.
The cool part about it is like we're all here to help each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I mean.
You could have hit him up for me.
Yeah.
I should have.
The old school mentality that was here about 2010, 11, 12, that kind of realm is really, really kind of aggressive, kind of mean sometimes, but I'm glad that that's gone and everyone is just pretty happy with everyone else and just making sure everyone survives. And that's really good to see.
Yeah. And Lauren, tell me about coming from, because Uinta's got this kind of, like, I talked to Libby the other day where she said that the co-op has kind of a, misnomenclature with they're a bigger brewery, so then they're shitty. Like, who cares? It's Pabst, it's Bud Light, you know, Budweiser, right? So coming from Uinta,
PBR is good, okay?
Hey, I'm not arguing that. But
Hams?
You're saying from Uinta, because even though you're creating at Uinta, do you guys still get a bad knack sometimes for being a bigger brewery?
Sure.
How do you handle that?
Just let it roll off your back and just keep making beer. Yeah. Like, the people that are saying that stuff, it's just because they don't know. It's just because they haven't been to the brewery. They don't know that we're still making beer, that we're not, you know, Budweiser or whatever. No shame on them either. But, yeah, it's, I don't know. We're not the devil. That's not us. Well,
you don't realize how hands-on, even those, like, Uinta and everything, like,
yeah,
that's hard. That is hard work.
The doors are a little more closed than other places. Like, you don't go sit in the tap room and see us, you know, hauling bags around or or slinging hoses. It's not quite the same. So I think because people don't see it, they think of what it might be, and it's something that it's not.
Well, this, yeah.
So, no, I mean, it used to bother me, but now I just laugh about it. I'm like, all right. Like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Whatever. Think what you want to think. That's fine. But
you handle it with great stride, I think.
You learn. Mm. You learn.
So is there a secret or a new project coming out of Uinta that we need to know about?
New project.
Just something that you can give off? You can, like...
What are we allowed to ask and talk about?
We don't have the you guys red are like, tape as
you guys are like Men in Black kind of shit.
Before cutting out, I just want to say I love, and this might, maybe I'm not supposed to say this, but I think that it's great that Uinta accepts other breweries, like, product into their system and produces
We contract brew, yes.
Are you allowed to talk about
that's
that?
That's good.
I don't know, actually. Yeah. I think they don't really have, like, a yes or no, don't talk about this,
I just
want
to say that,
like,
because they do that to some level, that
I think
that
that's
is very
huge, though,
huge
that
for the
people,
community.
People know that if they're falling behind, that they can go there to, like, bump up
they have
for
the
stores or whatever, for distribution.
To provide that for up-and-coming other breweries,
If anybody would like Uinta Brewing Company to contract brew for the... No, I'm kidding.
Matt, come and say hi at least.
Say hi.
Oh, Matt's leaving.
Matt. This is Matthew.
Hello, I'm Matt.
Matt. You're a great guy with a great set of skills. I think you'll do well in this company.
Love. What do you think of the beers that we had you try?
Oh, really good, actually, yeah.
What was your favorite so far?
Ooh, I mean, Delta Brett was surprisingly good. But
right?
It was, like, so smooth. But the Fleur de Lis was, like, fruitier than I thought it'd be. Fruity and floral and...
Nice. Fleur de Lis.
Yeah, I guess it lives up
Floral
to its name.
De Lis. Well done.
Yeah, very much so. I know.
Like that.
Well, thank you.
Well, Matt,
your...
be safe wherever you go.
Thank you.
Remember who you are and keep making great beer.
And don't forget David.
Please.
Never.
Thank you. Or Weird Al, whatever you call me. Slash
Weird Al.
I forgot my top hat. It's a Weird Al today.
You did.
God damn it.
Have a good night, y'all.
Yeah. See you, brother.
Bye. Safe.
So, we have a beer in front of us that Luis went and grabbed. Thanks, Luis, for doing that, by the way. So, Jack, Jeff, tell us about this beer that's in front of us. I'm, like, nervous.
You and Jack brewed it.
Stop.
I didn't do shit.
Bullshit. We talked about it. So, go ahead.
I monitored it.
It's tasting fantastic, so I must say. I've already drank half my glass. It's...
Fennel.
Can I tell them what you wanted it to taste like?
Your
goal was?
Yes. Lauren, so I'm excited to see your reaction. I'm going to watch
So we were shooting for hazelnut-flavored pirouettes by Pepperidge Farm. Oh.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
So it's a very gentle...
You want some of that?
...malty cream ale that we're going to add hazelnuts to. There's no hazelnuts yet, unfortunately.
Oh, I know what they are.
Yeah.
I know.
Cookie straws.
It's the one thing that your grandparents would be like, you can't touch that anymore. Like... You get one.
No, but yeah, I love those. My grandma bought the vanilla
tin
can. Yeah, in
a
tin can.
Oh, yeah.
And this one, I've never had the hazelnut, actually. I want to kind of try that.
Remember when you hit that pedestrian with your car and just drove away?
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Yeah. So that flavor we're trying to...
That's what we're trying to mimic.
It's not really robbing the liquid from my mouth the way that one of those does. Like, I don't feel like I need to cough
it's
out of, like,
robbing,
desperation.
Robbing
it's not quite
the
same, but it's close, you know? Like,
it's almost
keep
there.
At it.
It's almost there. So I'll tell my version. Jeff, I want to hear your side of it as well. But Jeff reached out to me and said, hey, we want to do a collaboration. I want to do a collaboration with you. Hmm. Jack... And I want to collaborate with you bad. I'm like, why? Like, I'm just a curly head guy. Like,
that's that cute
I don't
face.
Understand? Like,
cute
okay,
face ears.
I'm just hair. Like, whatever.
So much.
And so I remember sitting down with, I had about 12 ideas. Sat down with Jeff and we talked about all these different brews. And every single one that I gave to Jeff, he's like, yes, that's fantastic. Yes, that's fantastic. I'm like, no, stop. No, it's not fantastic. Yes, it's fantastic.
Don't be a sycophant.
And so, Jeff, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but he goes, okay, you're holding out. What's, like, number one? Like, let's go. I'm like, all right, okay, you remember those Pepperidge Farm sticks? Like, when you talk about
I was on board.
Hey, wait, you said it wrong. Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Pepperidge Farm remembers. The hazelnut, I call them cigars. For me, I hold my cigars.
Just hold it in your mouth.
When you said, well, that links something in my childhood because that's what my grandma had in the bottom of the pantry.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when I was young, I could grab them right there. She held everything up higher, but I remember the tin can right there. You said, remember those yes. Yeah, we're brewing it. I don't care.
And he skipped every other idea. He threw it out the window, and we stuck it on that one. We worked on the recipe, and then Jack and I brewed it a couple of weeks ago, and it was fucking a great day.
I was all about it right away. One, you guys wrote a great recipe. Two, it brought me like such nostalgia. Like my like that type of things, like desserts and sweets, were never taboo at my grandma's house. It was like the first thing she wanted you to get into. She was like, ice cream, cookies, ginger ale. You don't need to have dinner. Yeah.
Sweets here.
Yeah. My nana was all about ice cream. So like Pepperidge Farm pirouettes, that was just like a drop in the bucket for her.
Oh man.
But no, like when you got here and I was like, all right, we're doing it. That beer came together really easily.
It did. And we adjusted it on the fly. And I feel like this is going to be awesome. Because, like, it was just brotherhood. And Lauren, I want to talk to you about – I have a question about that beer. So while we're brewing it, we were inspired by you and Jackie. We were inspired. Because you guys, the day before, picture. I believe, or 2 days before,
we
you guys
keep
did
that trend going.
A collaboration.
Yes.
And you guys started something, watching your beer baby. And we tried so fucking hard.
I had, like, 20 takes of that shot.
We tried so hard to perfect that picture. So I want you to know
– Luis did a great job doing the photos.
Thank you, Luis, for taking the picture.
Shout out.
But – so that's got to be a trend. Voila. So every time we make another collaboration with anyone, it's got to be a picture. It's got to be. And we got to make a huge like wall of those pictures. It's got to happen.
Each one of the breweries has it. Like a blaster.
Yeah, just it starts with that blaster one and then ours. And then
I had to like practice getting the hands.
He was in the car. In the car he was trying
yeah,
so
we
hard.
Were doing it in the car like on the way back from buying.
Okay, we got to show respect to these two.
He's like, no, you got to like put your head
You really don't
away.
Realize how much they were tripping out about it the whole day.
Lauren and Jack did it.
How do we get this exactly how
we
got
to make it look like we just did nonchalantly.
I saw it and I died. And I was like, it is the same.
The last one was perfection. Like it took 20 takes, maybe more.
It really did.
So we actually did that photo based off of a photo that we did when we were making the Pink Boots beer, but we couldn't use that photo because it belonged to like one of the newspapers or something.
Really?
So we're like, all right, we'll just do the same thing.
Gotcha.
So
we're the third version.
Technically.
So we've got to find that original.
Yeah, we've got to find the original.
Steal
the
it OG back.
It's like trying to find the origin.
Or whatever.
But whatever. Lauren, what's your opinion on this this young beer.
It needs a hazelnut. Let's go.
I agree.
Are they in house?
Not yet.
No. We will. We will. Yet.
There's need to like salt base. There, yeah.
There's big
Jeff,
plans
this,
for the hazelnut.
When this beer gets the hazelnut in it, when will this beer be available?
Looks at schedule. Contemplates life.
I really Glaze do because over. It keeps switching. I'm shooting for Friday the 17th that it should be out.
Cool. And it'll be I on think Nitro at proper, correct?
Nitro at proper. That is the on most nitro. Realistic timeline I can give it.
Will you do like a little garnish of like a pirouette
of,
on the
of
side?
A, it's a quarter. Because
so like, stick you know, a chop.
Because those things are fucking expensive.
Four,
for like a tin can, it's like $9.
You use it as your straw.
Yeah, so you just... I mean, you get through the hazelnut first.
Compostable straws are about that much these days, right?
Exactly. Yeah, so we'll be fine.
So can proper afford a...
Get into the price of the
no, beer. We can't, but we will.
I
will tell the owners, you're doing this because I told you to.
There you go.
We need them.
I agree with Lauren that it needs the hazelnut, but I'm happy with the
base
amount
is great
the
with
amount of
them.
The lactose sugar that we put in there. Because honestly,
I know y'all hate
it's not
it.
Overly sweet. It actually has a dry finish.
It's not overly sweet.
It has
no.
a dry finish, to be honest.
I'm surprised about this. Like, you guys all finished yours already.
Pillowy.
Wow. It's good.
Pillowy. It's pillowy. Nutty.
No, it's
soft.
It's the perfect
not
base.
Not too malty, not too light.
To get that hazelnut
balanced.
On top.
Balanced.
The nuttiness is what surprises me.
Want the hazelnuts to shine through at the end.
Yeah, the hazelnuts got fish punch a little bit.
Yeah, they got a kick some.
Yeah, we'll get that.
Get
we'll
you get in
that
the gut.
Coming. Right there in the love spot. I'm but no, but real quick, guys, we're going to take a quick break and then come back with another beer from Jack's Fridge. Is that right?
J Fridge.
Thank you for coming to Jack's Fridge.
Jack's Fridge.
Jack's Fridge. Now say something, Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tastemasters is brought to you by Hopkins Brewing Company. By using the code TASTEMASTERS, you'll receive 10% off your ticket upon checking out. Food only.
But guys, it's badass food. They have chicken sandwiches, Thai wings, poutine. They have brunch every Saturday, Sunday. The food is fantastic. One of the best in town. Again, use the code TASTEMASTERS upon checking out. 10% off your entire ticket, minus the alcohol. Guys, let's keep it local by supporting local. This episode's also brought to you by you, if you wanted to be. We are looking for sponsors and would love to have you as part of our team. Feel free to email us for details at thetastemastersdrink@gmail.com or DM us through all social media platforms. Hey guys, it's David here. We are starting a Patreon, which is kind of like a tip jar, but digital. Basically what it does is it helps enhance the content of our podcast. You like what you hear? Want to help us out? Go ahead and head to www.patreon.com/tastemasters and subscribe. Anything will help. All right, guys, we are back. Jack.
I'll be damned. You are 801.
Told you. What did you just open us? Ooh, a cork.
Yeah, this is from...
a cork.
Yeah, we ain't this fancy. This is Oud Goose Boon. Boon, however you pronounce it. I don't speak...
I don't know.
It's pronounced goose.
Flemish or whatever.
I don't speak not American.
Black label second edition imported from Belgium. Mm. Price tag still on it. It was $14.99. Now on sale for $9.99.
That was a shelf turd from Wisconsin.
Yeah, it really was.
I said superior Wisconsin.
I haven't heard that term. I like that. Shelf turd.
Shelf turd.
I think a few of the things that I brought today are shelf turds.
That's tradition.
I'm hearing a lot of good lingo that we need to start doing. That beer is spreadable. Solid. That's a shelf turd.
Uh-huh. Spreadable.
A spreadable shelf turd, and if you will.
90% of them.
This one might be a spreadable shelf turd.
Could be.
All right, I'll do a little splash, and then I'll pass it on.
Ooh, that spread looks that shelf
well. Don't shift it around too much.
Yeah, I'll try not.
Because there will probably be turd in there.
She needs some good decanting.
Wait, Lauren, did you bring this?
I did. Yeah.
Oh, shit, tell us the story behind this, please.
I shall decant.
Sorry,
No, I mean, the story is...
Where's your
my very best friend, Julie Chen. Shout out to Chen! So, where's your glass?
A war cry.
Everybody, who else? Give me glasses. I can't turn this thing upright until you know.
I got you. Okay. Why can't you turn it upright,
because
Lauren?
It's got some gunky in the bottom.
Not
and
the sticky
like,
icky, but the gunky.
Gunky unky.
Anyway, Chen and I are in Superior, Wisconsin, visiting her daddy. Shout out Papa O. Oh, thank you. Uh-huh. And so we go to the liquor store and like... We're looking around. This guy, I forget what brewery he worked for, but he was like, "Ugh, buy my beer. I'm so good at selling beer." And I was like, "Ugh, dude, go away." And he's like, "I'm a certified Cicerone." And I'm like, "Okay, me too." And so then we started talking for a long time. And then he's like, "Okay, listen, there's this shelf turd over there. If you want it." He's like, "If you don't get it, I'm getting it." And I'm like, "What is it?" And he's like, "It's the Gers." And so I look over.
It's the Gers.
I look over in like the clearance rack, and there's this dusty ass bottle all the way in the back.
What year is it? Do you know?
I think it says on there. And I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm getting this."
It won a 2016 gold medal at the GABF, so it must be a 2016 or 2017.
It was on sale for $9.99. I think I probably paid like $7 for it.
No, because you can only claim World Beer Cup winner for a year. So it had to have been the 2016.
You got it.
Or 2017.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can only print that on your label for the year that you won.
That's what I mean, though, is like it would have had to be an older release than 16, or at least 16.
It's probably 2016, is my guess.
Five years old?
Technically, it has to be blended from three different
It's the Gers.
Shelf turd.
Got a shelf turd. He sounds really French,
you know what, too. The trend I want to start is when I have like the beer of the day, like whichever one of these is my favorite. Like that one is the world's best corn dog right there.
This is a corn dog.
This one's
for the ages.
Corn doggity dog.
Mm-hmm.
This one is not. But this is
I'm
solid.
Getting distracted. This is solid. My smell's getting distracted by cheese.
It's savory.
Cheese and meats. Yeah, that was maybe a mistake, but.
Roll with it.
Nah, I'm like, what's that? I'm digging it.
We're off the cuff.
What's that aftertaste you guys are getting? For me, it's like almost, and I correct my palate if it's wrong, but I get almost
what
like
aftertaste?
A
nobody's palate's wrong.
Just a warm rubbery taste, like smoky, warm rubbery taste,
little smoky rubbery,
rubbery.
I actually looked that up once, and I used to know what that was called. I can't remember now.
Yeah.
But it's like a smokiness. No, it's like a smokiness or close to it that you get from a certain like level of acidity and level of like
a timing belt
profile.
There he goes. Yeah. He's pretty right.
It's phenolic, like warmed up rubber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the time, coming down the canyon.
Ooh. See, I'm not a judge. I'm the only one at the table that hasn't judged, but I feel like that would.
I'm into that.
This is some post Parley's timing belt, is what you're saying. Post
Parley's time belt. That's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, little Cottonwood Canyon brake pad right there.
Shit. Man,
the bull wheel
we need to make a beer, and that's what the description on the side.
Yeah.
Alloy rim pad.
Alloy rim pad.
Is it a sintered or is it metallic or organic compound?
What's your guys' opinion on this one? I'm curious. Lauren, is this worth the holding on to in the vibe?
I like it a lot.
I like it.
It's really
what
crushable.
I expected too. It's exactly what I expected, you know? For this beer. I've had this
turtleish.
That's what I want. That's what I want in my stocking.
Yeah. In your stocking. You know? Poured through your stocking into your cup.
This is like Das Stocking.
Das Stocking. Now.
I've had this beer before. Not necessarily this iteration, but it's pretty much spot on for what I would expect. And not in a great, in a good way. Not in a bad way at all. It's intense and funky and all the weirdness that you'd expect from a goose.
Yeah, every time I take a sip, I get different flavors, more flavors, another flavor. Can't stop getting it.
Mm. Brewery boot.
Mm. That rubber.
Thanks for bringing this one.
It's eluding my sense memory to be able to like fully describe it. There's something in there though that's like tapping on my the front windows of my brain. Like, you know what to say. You know what to say. But it won't let me.
Yeah,
have you guys ever brewed a style like this?
Yeah.
Never.
Somewhere. Not here at proper, but
at home.
Well, I want to hear about it. Jack, tell me about the...
I combined the goose blending process kind of with brewing a creek. So I did it several years, a long time ago, of like a Brett, lacto, probably PDO combo. It was originally just Brett and clean yeast, but I did a first year kind of at a higher strength with local cherry. Did a second year, maybe over a year later, similarly. And then I did a third year where I did double the amount and went way lower on the ABV, kettle soured it. So it was like more controllable on the acidity because the first year was like super tart at that point. Second year was really fruity, funky.
That one lives through Carcosa though.
Yeah. So now
it's inoculated through Carcosa.
We've inoculated our own house beers. Oh. So Carcosa, like Jeff said, is partially inoculated.
So we've been cultivating our own.
Yeah.
Bacterial strain with a combination of Jack's. I forget where Rio got that.
Man,
Jack's fridge.
The bottom of Jack's fridge.
Yeah, but Carcosa, any sour note you're getting is a combination of whatever Jack had in his fridge to one of the old head brewer. Yeah. He's still an owner. Rio went to
Belgium
and actually brought back some, and I took the slug and put it into
this beer, right? This bottle right here with the punted bottom, this style bottle.
So Carcosa is like the high, like the combination of a lot of weird slugs that got put together, and we put in the combination and the mixture together to make what that beer is.
I'll get you a bottle of that, the original one, so you can try it straight up.
The cherry is awesome.
But
it's acidic as hell, but it's really fun. It's really fun.
Man. When I blended that
you guys are blowing my mind right now.
5 or 6, maybe that long ago.
That shit that we blended was 8 years when we put it into the barrel. 8 years old.
It was like the oldest was 3 years old when I made it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I bottled it, and since then, it's been about 5 or 6 years. Excuse me.
That's epic.
That's when I stopped home brewing.
It's a lot of time I invested.
Wow. I hated him as a home brewer.
This is blowing my mind right now.
I had the time.
He was a dickhead. I was like, fuck you.
It moved with me twice. Like, it moved to, he and I lived together. I moved there, and then it moved again, and then it moved again. And then I finally bottled it.
What would you, Jeff, what would you pair this with?
This?
Yes. This goose.
That's a good question. Let me get another sip.
Because I'm
Asiago. Because that's what I'm eating.
Yeah,
right
there you go.
No, but I mean, Jeff, Lauren, what would you guys pair this with? A goose. Well, what is This goose specifically, what would you guys pair this with?
I love the charcuterie thing that we've got in front of us. And like, honestly, you need something that's probably fatty what I'd do. I'd do like some nuts, some dried fruits of some sort.
I think your
cheese, meats, a little bit of everything. Because like, there's a little bit of everything going really on is, in this glass right now.
It's fantastic.
Like, the fattiness of the cheese is nice. What? The bitterness, a little bit of the Asiago was good. It's not a perfect pairing, but it works well.
Right.
Luis has got a pairing.
I think we'd go with a smoked oyster or a light ceviche.
Light ceviche.
What's a heavy ceviche?
Ceviche crudo.
Wow.
Oh.
You're going, motherfucker.
If only you could see his face right now.
This is why we keep him around.
That look was beautiful.
I do not meet many, many folk cut from this cloth.
What's a light ceviche, though?
To send it.
Sounds like right up my
alley. I was thinking that or something pretty fatty with it because it's light and cuts through pretty good.
I like this a lot. I think this one is the most like funky. It's the most out there.
Yeah.
It's just everything. I'm just, like I said.
I was honestly expecting regular Elder Brett to be exactly like this. Almost to a T. Like I was expecting the Brett profile to mimic this.
The aroma is pretty close.
Yeah.
But the taste this is what
this
throws
is,
you off.
That one was a little more subtle and clean, relatively. This one has a lot more like kind of depth and intensity to some of those like more, you know, funk driven notes. Like we were saying, that kind of smokiness that we can't really put our finger
meat
on
the bones.
Yeah, I just want to know. I guess technically, I want to know what that smokiness, peppery.
I want to know what that is. Scientifically, chemistry wise, I don't have the brain for that.
I don't know what the name is to it, but
hey Siri.
Siri.
But I say
to any of our listeners that want to call in and give us a
please call in it
clarification
801.
Yeah, you're on 801. I saw that.
Assholes. Hey, Jack, what's the next beer we got?
Let's.
I don't even want to open another one yet. I'm just like sitting on this.
She hasn't even. Yeah, she hasn't even had a sip.
Oh no, okay. I just double poured.
I still got it. Well, we can pick the next one.
Pick the next
one. Yeah, pick the next one.
Pick the next one.
Jeff, I say you pick the next one because
Jeff, you pick the next one.
We got the lineup. You just choose which one's next.
In the old Jack's fridge.
In Jack's fridge.
No, but Jack, I just want to say thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to brew together. It was an awesome experience and one that it was. It was like if I could do like a Make-A-Wish Foundation kind of thing, that's and seriously like I wanted to meet you.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at that. I was we'll just be, like
we'll you, Rio, and Kevin Templin. I wanted
I'm
to
terrible
meet
at taking
so
compliments.
Bad.
Thank
and
you.
when I got to brew with you, I was fangirling the entire time. I really was, and thank you so much for just like treating me like just one of your brothers, and I appreciate that because I never had a brother growing up. So the fact that you and I have clicked so well and.
You
have
want
these
him
awesome,
as your brother?
Yes, I do. Long-haired fuck like me, yes. But the fact that we...
can you guys make a collaboration called Long-Haired Fuck?
Please, absolutely.
PH.
With notes of fennel. Lots of fennel.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you.
No, I appreciate the opportunity to brew. And I can't wait to do more collaborations, and I can't wait to see what else we can brew in the future.
Dude, and I can only say that it was a wonderful day, and there will be more collaborations.
We had a fun day. A lot of bagels. A lot of bagels.
Gotta soak up the beer.
Soak up all the beer.
Somehow.
A little bit.
It was a pleasure to have you, and like truly, it was an honor to host you and be able to like
place us
so
good.
Put together something that you felt so passionately about, and that you put together yourself. I just showed up, and you guys were like, your guys are brewing a beer. I'm like, cool. I just
your
got back from vacation.
Your enthusiasm is sparking it back in us.
He and I
it's
just
really
said this
nice.
Today.
It's it, and that's no bullshit.
No
it's
bullshit.
Like, you know, when you've been doing it for 10 years, it's you're like, shit, I'm still doing the same thing over and over. Fresh blood coming into it is just always nice to be like, oh, my job is cool.
Yeah.
I do like it.
And that's why, like, when I was at Idaho Falls, I know I brought this up multiple times, but being in like just in the same arena with fantastic brewers and judges, I was just.
Well, you know who doesn't make it pretty quick. I mean, I'm sure people that come through Uinta, you know who's going to make it and who's not. And then the people that make it stick around and they realize, you know, why you do it because you're not in it for money.
Just nice to be
Can you come and say that in the microphone?
Yeah, you gotta say that in the microphone next time. Here, yeah.
It's just nice to be eating in the same trough.
Yeah. It really was, though.
That's my favorite. I love to slop it up with y'all.
Yeah.
That is my favorite thing. That's why I do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Like, we still do it.
Well, yes. Yeah, you meet some of the most... Beer's weird. Just the classiest some bitches on the planet and the most low class ever. And everyone yeah. comes together and everyone just has a good time. Yeah, yeah. And it's really just, I honestly, as much as sometimes I get into the mindset of, I just got to get out of this shit. Like, I don't want to do it anymore. But then something pulls you back in and you realize, well, what the hell else do I want to do?
Yeah, 'cause it's really cool.
I have no idea what else I want to do. This allows me such a freedom that no one else gets.
Freedom.
And at the end of the day, it's like, as long as I pay the bills and rent's clear and I save a little bit, and who fucking cares?
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter at that point. Yeah, exactly.
It like, shakes
there's
out. Yeah.
There's plenty. You get into the right.
It does shake
you
out.
You get
yeah.
into the right brewery, and they see your talent. You can stretch it and
when
go
I,
for
I,
it as much as you
the
want.
As the first like long conversation I had with Kevin Davis out of Red Rock, and I sat there and like, dude, I want to. I just want to talk to you. I just want to sit there and pick your brain. And his response to me was immediately like, "I have nothing to say. I'm not cool. Like I." You don't want
to
talk to me.
I like talking to them.
Yes, I fucking do.
He's so humble.
Yeah.
Nobody makes better Belgian beer in Utah than that dude. And I begged him to please make more. Please make more Belgian beer, dude. Because, like, that's a gap in this industry.
Nobody sells it, though, because no one buys it.
I'll buy it. I know that's not enough. But
us brewers will.
That's the thing. He knows his way around Belgian.
He's like no other.
It's trying to get the general population to really respect what brewers love.
Well, and that's what I was, that's the great point to make because for what we were just saying, like.
And what Zayd wants. What do you want to drink?
What do you want to drink, Zayd?
Pilsner.
Yeah.
Paid by all brewers.
Literally what we were just doing was exactly what we were just talking about. It's like recognizing how much we appreciate what each other do. It's like the market might not see it.
It's hard to justify doing a 10, 20, 30, 120 barrel batch.
Warren's like, I want this person to be making Belgian beers for me. And we're like, well, we want to make lager beers for everyone. And, we're good at this. And it doesn't matter. Like, if you're fulfilled somehow throughout this whole process and what you're providing and other people that recognize the quality and the like effort that went into it, that's huge validation. And like you're saying, Jeff, with David coming to the fold, like you brought like this like spark back, this like light. Seriously, this light that like everybody I think needed.
No,
it really helped me out, honestly, because I've been dabbling with it for the last two, three years,
and Jack and I have had this conversation so much. It's like I've been doing this 10 years. Damn, it's rough to like keep doing it. Should we do something else? Because you want to save, you want to buy a house someday, you want to do this and that, but it's not very lucrative being in beer. So you got to want it, and it's got to be from your core that you want to do it, because you're not getting rich doing it, and right. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird to be in it this long.
And I guess I just fangirl over all you guys because I just look at you guys and like, this is, you guys are so cool. Like, I just want to be around you.
We're not
that
cool, though.
Yeah, you think that. You think that, but I think highly of all of you. I mean,
I think highly.
You guys have no idea. When I was standing there in whatever bar we were at or whatever venue we were at, I'm just like, oh my God. I wish that night never ended. For two reasons. One, because I wouldn't have gone deaf. And two, I wouldn't have...
You are already deaf, man.
I would have been able to sit there and talk to everyone because I didn't get a chance to talk to everyone, right?
That's
what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to just bring back an appreciation for you artists. Like, you guys are artists and you guys do need that appreciation being shared, right?
Let it breathe.
And it's beautiful. It really is. And you guys are doing a great thing. And if you guys decide to move on, I will be heartbroken, but I understand I will support you guys no matter what.
I don't think any of us are. We're two.
Yeah.
Unless you have plans.
No, I don't have any plans. Just don't ask me to make seltzer for the rest of my life.
I'm going to be an astronaut.
That's your next step going back to school?
Yeah. Oh, I have to go to school for that?
Oh, boo.
Never mind.
No, just enter that sweepstakes with whatever that billionaire that's trying to
Jeff
take someone
Bezos.
Into space. No, the other cat that owns a Virgin.
Richard Branson.
Richard Branson. Yeah, he's trying to take someone
into
space.
I know, I'm not trying to join. I thought I could just like, you know, put a bunch of like bottle rockets on my back and shoot myself into space.
Oh.
Or do the up way and just do a bunch of
balloons.
Weather balloons.
Both.
It's impressive.
Float off into the sunset.
I fully support this.
You just want me gone.
On this episode of Chase Masters, we're going to space.
But if you find a way to get into space, I want you to do it first, just in case you die, I don't die. But if you find a way, I will jump on
and
piggyback.
Have, like on my chest painted, like, and I won't wear a shirt. I'll just say, I love you, Jeff. Bye.
Jack just lifted up his shirt. And he's actually got that tattooed right between the nips.
The only person in this world.
The only one.
Is that a tattoo of Biggie Smalls, too?
No.
There's many.
No.
Controversial. Some of them are controversial.
Maine, Biggie Smalls. It says East Coast roots.
So, there's no rhyme or reason.
Jeff, Jack, what did you just open for us?
We just popped a bottle of Rev from
this
Lauren.
This is Lauren's.
Not from my fridge, but... Not uncommon for this to have been
Lauren's fridge. So this episode's of Lauren's fridge.
It's a Lauren and Jack's fridge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're co
I put my
co-fridging.
Fridge in his fridge.
A Jalaren's fridge. Jaren's fridge.
It's a Jaren's fridge.
Co-refrigerating these days.
So, Lauren, when did you pick this up at?
I probably had some part in making it. What, 2017? I think I was still around there. This is Rev from
when
Red Rock.
When did you leave?
2018 April. So yeah, I would have had something to do with this.
You had something to do with that.
I put something on it in it something.
My hand touched it at some point.
This is Rev. This is a Chardonnay barrel aged. What is this thing? A triple? Yeah.
Sweet.
I think it's pretty good. We'll see how it's
so
done.
So far, all of
what
these
is it, 4 years old
beers
now?
That I dread drinking have been fantastic.
Sure. They're really amazing.
I'm
so stoked right now.
We all thought this would be oxidized.
No, I'm not worried about that so much as I just, like you and I talked about earlier, I don't like sours or Brett stuff really anymore. And this has just been exceptionally delicate and nuanced and really fun and interesting. It's like bringing me back.
Glasses over.
Who are you drinking the beer with, though? You know what I mean? Like, the camaraderie also adds to who you're having the beverage with.
Perception.
Because I can... Oh, thank you, Lauren. Sure. I can sit here and have, you know, a Pacifico with myself, or I can have a Pacifico with some loved ones.
You know, I'm not thinking about that Pacifico as well as much, but...
Mm-hmm.
Right.
When I'm drinking a Pacifico with you, I'm thinking hard about that Pacifico.
Exactly, but it tastes better, doesn't it, for some reason?
Yes.
Easy, Lauren. Easy.
Easy, girl.
Someone's got to talk. So...
Calm down.
My friends, cheers.
Cheers.
We haven't cheers once.
Get in here. Damn
get
it.
In here.
Lewis.
God damn it. Get in there.
Come here, Lewis.
I am the glue.
Lewis.
That holds it together. This only came together because of Luis. If he couldn't make it, we would have told you to fuck off.
That's fine. That's fine. Not the first time.
Hola.
That means hello.
Something.
Oh. Oh, fennel. Did you get fennel?
Sourdough.
I got marzipan, but whatever.
Marzipan?
Yeah.
Get out of here with your fancy palate.
I got some attic fruit.
Yeah, I don't really hang out with people using $10 words all this time.
I'm really good at Scrabble, by the way.
I'll never play with you then.
You can't sit with us.
Wow.
Some pear, a little bit of
imitation salt.
Nice.
You just dropping knowledge over there.
Keep talking.
He just keeps talking.
We need to get him his own mic. Like, yeah, no one can hear his voice right now.
I should move.
We're just reacting and no one can hear what he's saying.
Imitation salt.
This one's very pleasant, actually. I'm surprised.
Yeah, no, this is one of the best I've had. I've had this beer many times, and it's hit or miss with me personally.
When's the last time this was released, Lauren, if you recall? I've honestly never seen this label ever.
No?
Really?
I swear to God, no.
I don't know if they make it anymore, actually.
No,
I'm not sure.
They do? Don't.
Who do we have to talk to?
I think they do.
Go talk to Mr. Kevin Davis.
Yeah.
It has like a nice like tannic depth to it that's mm-hmm. that's really like it rounds itself out on my tongue.
It's like a little yeah. nutty, coat just it. A little bit.
Like better than an Aperol spritz because that just tastes like dirt.
Are you saying this beer sucks?
Okay.
Okay.
Anything with like
they Aperol, both suck.
This is quite enjoyable.
Hot take.
I would like to share
anything
this
Campari
with
and Aperol tastes like shit.
A lot of like I wish just like a fine wine almost. If someone came over and like yeah. I don't like to drink beer, I would open this up and try to share this with.
This I just is delightful.
Imagine well, myself around a table with good friends and be like sharing this. Like what we're doing right now. I would like to do this.
We're around good friends.
Yeah.
And we're drinking good beers.
Oh, this is
good.
We're all friends.
This is euphoria. By the way, guys.
Wait, your name was Craig, right?
Craigert.
But what do you guys think about this one? I'm curious.
I like it.
I've
had, like I said, many iterations of this beer, and sometimes I'm not a big fan. Sometimes I am. This is one of those times where I am.
I've had this many times, and I'm getting kind of low on my stash. So when we used to make this and Part of Bloom and anything else fancy, I'd get like a case and just squirrel it away. And so I'm down to like half a case of all the squirreled away different things. And so this was my second to last 2017, but I've had these beers so many times, and sometimes they come off as like too Chardonnay-y or diacetyl or too much of something.
It's that buttery thing.
But
too.
Yeah, like this is.
I'm not getting much of that.
This is.
Oh, I'm not.
Right.
I just always worry about anything Chardonnay barrel. I'm always just waiting for it.
Oak
but
Chardonnay,
this one doesn't. Yeah. This one doesn't have it. Huh.
This
like
is a good
mom.
One. I feel like these beers also ebb and flow a lot. Sometimes you open the same vintage that you had 6 months ago, and you're like, oh, it was so good before, and then you open it again,
yeah.
and you're like, oh,
well, that's
man,
the, that's
bad
the
timing.
Nature
it's,
of the beast, right?
Yeah, that's the Brett just chewing and spewing all the time.
Looking at you right now, too, your microphone's like splitting your nose. It's really freaking me out because I just get one eye on either side.
X-File shit.
Yeah. But that was what was worrying me about all these other ones, too, is like Elder Brett. Like,
I don't
like,
think
this could be horrible.
I just don't think people realize how hard it is to make any sort of wild Brett. Or wild beer in general that's aging in barrels. They don't realize that it is. Like, you know, you're trying to blend it out.
It's a living being.
At the perfect time. So, you know, you got to cut brewers some break if they don't pull it out at the right time. They thought it was at that time. It's a difficult task.
Like who drinks this kind of beers? I feel like the consumers nowadays, they want now, quick, sexy. These kind of beers aren't appreciated.
You got to really get someone that has a...
You know what I mean? Like, this can't be... You can't do 150 barrels of this.
No, this...
There's no way.
It's kind of sad, but I think these kind of beers are dead now. Like, no one other
it's
than
like
people...
like a fine wine almost? Like
other than people like us that are
so how do you
really
go about,
receptive
how do you tell
about,
people that? How do you teach people about this kind of awesomeness?
I think people need to... I think it speaks volumes to just the nature of like what society is in general. They want it quick, they want it fast, they want something new all the time, and they don't respect the fact that things take time.
Yeah.
Respect the process. But,
yeah, if you drink fine wine, you should respect beer in the same kind of realm because certain beers like this one are going to take time. And beer drinkers, if you're on Untappd and doing all this, you want to shit talk this one and this and whatever. Get respect to like what it takes a brewer to get to that level of trying to push something out. I can't stand it when someone just wants to shit talk a barrel aged beer. You don't like it? Fair enough. It's not your cup of tea.
Yeah.
But don't shit all over it because it took somebody a lot of time to get that perfected.
Yeah.
And so like Red Rock, if someone doesn't like that, this one, don't shit all over it. Just say not for me.
Doesn't make Red Rock all
fair,
automatically
fair enough,
a bad brewery.
You know, but someone else will really love it.
Right.
Well, so you've got to respect the time frame that it takes to make something like this.
When you give somebody the internet outlet, they're like we said the other day, it was like it's like you're basically giving them Yelp and you're like, oh, you want to be an internet troll and reviewing at the same time.
And shit all over what I do for a living.
I feel like it's
like,
flexing.
That's
part
depressing.
Of it is part of it is just the inability to contextualize the you know all the aspects of it, the overarching complexity of making a beer what it is, especially a beer like this. Yeah. Like people are like, oh, like they just look like it's in the bottle. Like it's like tunnel vision. Like when you're driving, you're in this little box and people just don't know how to react in an appropriate way.
$18 for this bottle
it
of beer.
It better be goddamn amazing.
It's like you do realize how small our fucking brewery is, and we only had 60 cases, and you've got one of them. You're at the bar. No wonder you're paying $18 for it. Go to the fucking beer store and pay $12 for it and take it home. Like, I don't want to hear that shit anymore. I'm tired of it. They're already judging it based on the markup. Yeah, that kind of crap just makes me – that's what really gets me, like, thinking, I just don't want to do this anymore because people don't respect the craft. People don't respect the time you put into it, the stress that you put into it. Like, you're sitting there just like, I hope this comes out right. Like, I hope this comes out the way I envisioned.
Right.
I hope all of the hard work from brew house to cellar to in the barrel to out in a year's time. And then they wanna shit talk it. Oh, it's too expensive. Well, you shouldn't have bought it then. But if you want to try a barrel-aged beer, then you should have expected to pay more, especially from a brewery that doesn't make a lot of product. And I don't know. Just I don't come to your job, whatever it is, and
so you
just
make
tell
you, cars. You make
oh,
shitty,
you're a graphic designer. That artwork you did is piece of shit. Like, it's just have respect for
it. You look at that logo and you go, I don't like that. Well, but then you're not like going and seeking out some like public forum to like talk about
it. Yeah, I just don't understand where people.
Where do I get to complain about corporate logos on the
Nike
internet?
Swoosh is not swooshy
common
enough,
decency
right?
is just fucking gone.
Yeah.
The grout sucked. Yeah, that was gone. That was so, gone. You tile work? You roof?
So, Jeff, with all the scrutiny that's behind it, how do you come about staying passionate in this job? As a brewer, like I'm humbled. As a brewer, like I went to Idaho Beer Fest and all the beers that I helped make, none of them placed, which is fine. I don't give a shit. I looked at it as, all right, let's keep learning. Let's go. Like, how do we become?
Well, you take your notes and you learn from it.
I was so excited. Like, all right, let's how do you make this beer? How do you make this beer? How can I make it better? Like, what's your suggestions? Like, whatever. Instead of like, I didn't win. Fuck you. Bleh. Like, I mean, but how do you go about it? Me like,
heard that.
You know what? People didn't like my beer, so fuck it. I'm not making this anymore. Like, how do you go about, like, this right here. This beer probably won't be appreciated by 90% of the consumers out there. But,
well,
it's beautiful.
Craft beer in general isn't produced or isn't appreciated by
So what makes you guys still, so Jeff, what makes you guys, what makes you passionate in this industry still? What keeps that, like, I'm still in it for the game?
Well, it's still a creative, like, entity in and of itself. It's like, I can't speak for this for any of the other breweries that I worked for because they were all a little more not aligned with how I was viewing it. So, for example, when I was at Breakside, I was on packaging, but they didn't respect packaging too much as they did Brewhouse. So people that were developing recipes weren't giving too much at that time frame because they were really growing in a weird way. So it was like they were more invested in their brewers, not so much the seller and the packaging crew. And they didn't realize that every department needed, you know, the right amount of attention. But the best thing about Proper is the owners just leave us the hell alone. And they respect our vision and they are trusting of us to take care of them the right way. So what keeps me going is the fact that they just leave me the hell alone and we can do whatever it is we want to do. So, hey, I have a gin barrel aged revenge, which is, you know, the double IPA that's coming out. And it's like, okay, well, Jack created the revenge. Let's put it into a gin barrel age. Let's do it. It's called Coward's Fist. And it's like, let's buy the barrels. They give us the money to do it, and they just let us do it. Okay. And so what keeps me going right now is just the fact that we don't have anyone just tearing at us about, hey, you need to make all just this money.
Judging every step.
Yeah,
that goes,
exactly. Yeah. They just let us do what it is. It's like, what do you need to be successful?
Yeah.
So No. Okay, yeah, get the hell over here.
hey, it's Luis again. Being the youngest one here, in the brewery, that these guys are teaching me all this stuff, it just like kind of brings joy into their eyes that they're just like, oh, I get to hand this off to somebody else. So it just kind of like amps these guys up way so much that they're like, hey.
Somebody wants us to
somebody,
teach them.
Well, somebody yeah. wants, somebody is guys has that hunger. So these guys have been so nice to just show me everything. And it just kind of like at the end of the day, I see these guys' eyes and they're just like, right. Well, this is why I, this
and that,
is what got me.
Brings confidence to you as well.
Yeah, no, it brings confidence. It's like you wouldn't share those secrets to somebody that isn't deserving, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like, I feel like I'm grateful, but then it's like, these guys have been doing it for 10 plus years. And so it's like the fact that they're still.
Yeah, still doing
advocate
it.
About yeah. doing the same things the same way. Like yeah. it just, yeah, it's just really nice to see.
Yeah. That's beautiful, Luis. Thank you.
I feel that. Oh, and we all learned under really, really, really talented important, people. Influential people. I think all three of us really have. Just like people that really made Utah beer what it was. We all did it. So it's kind of, I, in my head, I don't know if anyone else does it that way, but it's, I have kind of like, you got first, second, third generation of Utah brewing. So first generation, I kind of equivalate with what Uinta was when Will was the owner and who was kind of coming through there.
Beginning of Red Rock.
Yeah. Ooh. Squatters and Wasatch Squatters before they, their original buyout, which I think was through Oscar Blues. And then Epic. So it was these three that were like the powerhouses of the industry. And whoever's in the industry now had kind of a run in through there, you know, Salt Lake, that is, though. If you go up, you know, Ogden, Roosters is really like the powerhouse for people up there that really got their start and everything. Mm. But you do that. And then I would equivalate like me, Jack, and Lauren, like second generation
yeah.
of that. Yeah. That kind of came through, and we took it where it was like, okay, they're a little more rough. They don't want to play with other breweries. Ed, they were a little more cutthroat back in the day.
Interesting.
Like, because Uinta was 94, it opened yep. up. Yeah, 94. Squatters was 86, and Wasatch was 89, or I might be switching those two up. But everyone was kind of really, like, trying to get the Utah hold. And now this third generation is coming up after the second generation was just kind of like, there's no sense of fighting. We're all friends. Why the fuck are we doing this?
Yeah.
And then the third is just going to keep it going. You're going to see more breweries opening up. You're going to see more people like having fun with one another.
Yeah.
So I'm glad, I don't know. It was the first couple of years at Epic was kind of rough because everyone was just like, didn't work well with one another, and it was kind of a bummer, and that's honestly why I moved away, because I was like, everyone just is kind of in competition with one another in a wrong way. Mm-hmm. I moved away, came back, and then coming back, and it's like, oh, they're picking up yeast from us? This doesn't sound like the old Utah I know, and everyone's buds now.
Hmm.
I love it.
Yeah.
But
it's gotten easier.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's fun to be a part of Utah beer now. It wasn't what it used to be.
And that's why I feel spoiled. And I feel you guys may sit here. I mean, I feel like us four are friends. Five. Sorry, Luis. I apologize. Yeah, you're over here. Us five are friends, but like I feel.
No, he's my friend.
I feel.
You have to earn that.
Sorry, my bad. That guy over there. Yeah. But
he's
feel,
barely my friend. I just made it.
I feel honored to be at this table. I met with three people that I look up to highly, and the fact that you guys give me the time of day to like sit here and like just chit chat, it's like holy shit.
Well,
like,
and on that same note, and hearkening to your original question, like that right there, what you just said, is what I feel makes this all more worthwhile for me. Like that yeah. enthusiasm
puts
what
it
you
in
bring
perspective
in,
for sure.
Exactly, like yeah. what Luis brings to the table, what you bring to the table, this. Third generation of brewers or whatever,
shit, man,
for lack of a better
be
description.
Like, label
like,
is that in a way.
Is,
for the beer.
That is what makes it all the more worthwhile for me because I've put a lot of time in to learn what I have and to create what I have and to know that there's still
that
people
guys,
that are
like
gushing
shit.
About it. Like I can become so jaded and so cynical.
Well, you don't realize
but then you hear people that are like, stoked about it. Like you were just like thrilled to meet us and like
Luis when is I met Lauren to get and all the pink boots, the brewery, I was yeah.
Everybody's oh and everybody else's enthusiasm rebuilds mine. It like makes me feel
that's
like
cool.
What I'm finally doing is
worthwhile,
the right thing. Like the thing that I should have been doing the whole time, where there are so many points where I've questioned that. So to know that like all of you appreciate it so much, yeah. Yeah,
that's really cool.
It validates so many things.
That's really cool. Lauren, I mean, I want to hear from you. Like, what's your opinion on all of this?
My opinion is thank you for bringing everybody together and giving people a reason to hang out on a Friday night.
Yes.
And talk beer through microphones. Like, thank you for channeling that.
Seriously.
Because, like, goddamn, it's not that we forgot over the past year, but it just hasn't had the... We haven't had the opportunity to do it as much.
I don't think you realize how influential you've been. No, straight up. We haven't all been able to get together like this, like because we all, I don't know, like we're
too
all pretty busy.
That's my new biggest pet peeve. We're busy. I'm busy. Busy. Yeah.
I just think someone needed more of the tenacity to do that. What do you think?
I agree. And like I've seen a lot of people come and go through the industry in the past few years. And like I've always been hoping like, oh, God, like I'd see people come in and I'm like, I don't know. They got it. They don't got it. Like, I'm not sure. And then somebody comes in. I'm like, oh, my God, they got it. Shit, I have to start learning again. This person's going to steal my job. Yeah. Like, and that is such a happy fear, like, to have that. It's like, oh, shit, okay, back at it. Read the books, study, make, like, do. And, like, I appreciate that from you and people like you that are, like, stepping in and stepping up and challenging. And, like, that's what keeps things moving.
Asking the questions that need to be asked.
The key is to evoke that positive change. And not just let what is happening change you and then make you feel like you shouldn't be a part of it. He was like,
holy fuck.
When everything about it is draining you, you need to reevaluate and say, no, like there are many aspects here that I could have a good effect on and that could make it better for me and better for everyone else all along the way.
Absolutely.
So that's a huge way to, you know, hold that mindset.
Making way for that new generation. I think this next generation or our generation in the brewing industry is much more open to the newer cats coming in and really laying
and
down
the fact that
what
you guys,
they feel, what they see.
Because that first generation was really cutthroat. Like you wouldn't like, hey, we're not going to bring anyone new in, no new blood or whatever. And you guys, second generation, is like, let's kind of bridge that gap of new blood and old blood kind of thing.
That's the whole thing.
Like,
because it gets to the point where it's like, it is just beer at the end of the day. You shouldn't be taking that.
I get it.
This serious.
Like, I appreciate true styles, pure styles. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's creativity happening. Like, you got to be like, that's opening a doorway for other people to come into the craft beer scene.
Make beer that disgusts me. And if people buy it and they're goo goo gaga over it, okay, cool. Like, I'm getting outdated, but that's fine. Like, keep it flowing.
Yeah. And it's humbling in a way. All right, send it, I guess.
Send it.
Well, and I think that's why Utah beer in general is really good right now is because everyone that I've met through it is so open and so humble about it.
Right.
You know.
And that's the thing is
you go to Denver or Portland or whatever, and people are very aggressive about their beer being the best. This,
which is
that,
unfortunate.
And the other thing. But here... Everyone is very open
and that's
with
the thing.
Everyone else.
I was sitting there this last weekend and talking to Kevin Davis and Kevin Templin, and they would give me the time of day. They gave it to me.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me their unadulterated.
They
like,
wear watches.
Man, I get it.
Sorry, that was bad.
That's a great question. I don't know where that's going.
Terrible dad joke.
Boo.
Well, where Utah beer, I would. You know, Utah, it took a long time for the public to understand that it's a real job.
And
yeah, very true. Well, other states treat the beer industry as a real career, but it only took up until the last probably 5-6 years where actually you wouldn't get the thing where it was like, oh, well, I work at a brewery. Okay, when are you getting your real job? No, fuck you. This is my real job.
Yeah,
you know. So
it's fun because I mean, look at us. We're no sugar daddies or mamas. Like we ain't making in money right now.
Nope.
I'm trying to, but I don't.
But every I don't know about you guys, but every person I talk to, they're like, you got the coolest job ever.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I had the coolest job ever, I feel like I'd be paid like Jeff Bezos. Like, I'd be like, right? Like, if that was the coolest job ever.
Ships, that's like
the,
it's Thursday.
That's yeah, the, be up in Mars by now.
That's the shit of it, right? Like, you get one or the other.
Yeah. And so, for me, it's
unless you're like a Formula One driver, you're not getting paid like out the ass.
Exactly.
The
but
job in the world.
I do have the coolest job in the sense where I have, just again, this being at this table, I'm in awe because you guys are some of the coolest motherfuckers I have ever met. And I have a picture of me and Weird Al. You know what I mean?
I love that.
Like, come on now.
I knew
you guys
I do
are
like
cool
that
and
photo.
Weird Al. And you don't have toe thumbs, which scared the fuck out of me.
Toe
thumbs?
Sorry,
what?
What?
What am I?
What dumb did
phobias. Toe thumbs.
What is, what?
Just look at.
Do
look,
you have toe thumbs?
I'm looking at
what
his thumb right now.
No, no, no.
Looks okay.
Yeah. Google, what does that mean? Google hammer thumbs. We wouldn't be friends if you had
hammer
thumbs.
Hammer thumbs.
So Google Megan Fox. If you Google Megan Fox, you'll see a first picture of her doing this.
And
it's a toe thumb.
It's
like a half thumbnail. It scares me. Yeah, yeah. It gives me the heebie-jeebies. But anyway, Jack, you just opened probably our last beer of the night.
Potentially,
we're going to open a proper beer, and it's called the
– That's smart.
Joel?
We have one more that we need to open.
Gale.
The Gale? Gale.
A day old.
It's Yule.
But
a day old.
There's
bear.
No Y in there.
It's pronounced Yule.
There's a G in there.
Yeah, but it's Gaelic.
So go ahead. Oh.
Oh.
So I don't speak that.
Our whiteness
explain
is showing.
Explain what you open, brother.
So Yule is the original barley wine that we did here. This recipe, Matt and
shout out Matt
Rio
Sergeant.
Rio Connolly, hence the Gaelic aspect of Connolly being the Connolly's Irish background. But Matt and Rio and I originally created this recipe back in 2016. And then this is the barrel aged iteration. So we aged it in Pinot Noir barrels, last year.
That's beautiful.
And it's probably the best iteration of it we've ever done.
Oh yeah?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I have a vertical of it that we don't have time for tonight. Maybe next time.
Ooh,
or another time. But
I want that nose to be
tastes like Christmas.
To drink it straight up is one thing, but to have it as a barrel aged version is truly exceptional, I think.
I love it, dude.
If this wins a GABF, I'm gonna just like I'm done.
Give up.
I'm quitting. And like at the competition, I'm like, Andrew.
Walk
been
off
fun.
Stage.
I'm out.
Could you just be a permanent co-host of the old Tastemasters?
Exactly. That's, yeah. If you pay me, right?
I'll pay you in beer.
Oh god. That don't pay the bills.
I know. No, but this one's really nice.
No, it's a tinsel, you know?
No,
like a little
tinsel.
Bit of like
tinsel
see.
Teeth? Like when
like
I had braces
angel's
in middle
wing,
school.
Maybe.
Angel's wing.
You know?
So
angel's
wing. You guys like on that note, Lauren, for real, I get fruitcake.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You this know what I mean?
Christmas big time.
You get a little bit of like rum cake. Like rum I get cake. The like mm-hmm. booziness, but it's almost like maple.
Yeah.
From Combo as a barrel that, and the maltiness.
If Christmas was a pancake.
Yeah.
Ooh,
if Christmas
I like that.
Was a pancake.
At IHOP, specifically.
At IHOP.
Written by Robert McCloskey.
Mm-hmm. Tastes like Courier and Ives.
Some kind of children's author writing a book about pancakes and beer.
Hmm. Yeah, we're pretty proud about this one.
I like this one a lot, guys.
This
well
one's
done.
Too. I'm glad.
Maybe we
I
don't
mean,
need to drink another one. This is
honestly,
one
this is 2 years old at this point.
Yeah.
Technically.
This is real good.
Dude, this is
I hope you
solid.
Win some medals for this.
Fuck, I hope so.
Son Better of a gun,
so
cool. Yeah.
If you don't win medals for this, I still love you.
I'll just cry a little bit, but, you know, I just...
I cried when the Whispers of the Primordial Sea won. I teared up a little bit.
Dude, I was like half asleep, but...
I texted your ass.
Yeah, I know. I think you were the only two I was really talking to that night, but that was really amazing.
Happy about that one.
Of course that one wins. That was the one we wanted.
But... Lauren, have you ever made a barley wine by chance?
Say bye
to the folks.
I mean, adios. Like, yes, but like my own recipe, no.
On which one? Sorry, what did
barley wine? He said, have I ever made a barley wine?
Mm, The B1.
Bye, Jackie. Jack.
Everyone, Luis is finally leaving. And clarifying for his sins across the evening.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful.
I am
Barley
Jackie
wines
King.
Are hard to write in general, though.
I'm Lauren Lurch.
Nice.
Yeah, you are.
But you haven't made it. You've made one, your own version, but you haven't upscaled one?
No. We made a barley wine with Ketos at Uinta, which we've brewed 2 years in a row now.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But my own personal recipe, no. Mm.
He left.
Is that a style that you want to kind of look into, perfect?
I mean, I want to drink the shit out of it, like, when it's appropriate, which is when I want it. Who knows when that is?
What time
of year? I don't
know. Winter. Hey, I'm gonna open a barley wine.
What time of year?
What's a barley wine time of year?
I mean, like when it's cold. You know, when I'm camping.
Fall.
When I've like, you know, it's like the beer you break out when it's like we've been drinking all evening. Let's open the big beers now, and it's like, oh no, this is a barley wine time. Okay,
shit.
Like that's fine.
I like that.
I mean, barley wines are what people take to bottle shares. Mm-hmm. It's what. Mm-hmm. You know, people want to share with other people.
Yeah.
Or you drink it selfishly in your own home and you get, you know.
Schmammied.
Crazy.
Toasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. But I love it. It's complex. I like this one specifically because it's not as bitter as some. I once spoke with a guy, an old timer, at the Big Beers, Belgians, and Barley Wines Festival in Breckenridge.
Wow.
And he told me that the best time to have the Sierra Nevada Bigfoot barley wine was after 8 years. 8 years is the prime time to drink that beer. And I'm like, that's an investment. Okay, I'm going to go to the store.
I might die before I drink those.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many barley wines will kill me before then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the longest you guys have held on to a barley wine?
Like 6 years, probably.
Ooh, actually, I have a Uinta barley wine at home, anniversary. Yeah.
Ooh.
That I
20-year, right?
Before, no, that's Red Rock. That's their Imperial Red. But
I know where
you're coming from.
Yes.
There's a lot of anniversary things.
Oh my
God,
so many anniversaries. Utah.
So many anniversaries. Must we celebrate them all?
Strapping has like five.
No, this is a beer I got before I even worked there, and I just remembered that I have it somewhere.
Interesting.
Maybe it's no good anymore.
Hold on to
it.
Don't touch it. I have a Level Crossing barley wine made from Solstice malt.
Oh, nice.
And it's
100% Solstice?
I want to say like 90% Solstice, but I'm holding on to it. It's in the fridge. It's in the can, though. Is it okay if it's in the can? Like, I feel like a bottle should be for a barley wine.
I think Jack's fridge has some.
So David's fridge has one barley wine in it.
But those are my most recent.
It holds out oxygen just as well as a bottle.
As long as they're purchased outright, Craig.
This being a bottled one, like, this has held up really nicely. I have a vertical of all of our barley wines from the last four years.
Yeah.
I only have 4 years of proper barley wines, but I think I had some older stuff for a while.
This is beautiful, guys.
Yeah.
Well
done. This is exceptional. I almost don't want to open that other beer that I intended to open next.
I get a lot of fennel.
Dude,
I do too. Yeah.
What are you making? Like
caraway?
Sausage?
What's the
like Italian
thing, man?
Sausage over here?
Fennel and
what's
caraway.
The
he's making sausage.
You got
fennel
in your pillowcase.
He's going to his safe place.
My
with
favorite
that one.
Was whenever my coworkers open a beer and like, you smell this? And like, I think because here we go.
Fennel.
So I had a dear friend of mine come into Strap Tank and try our lightest beer. It's a light lager. Okay. He's like, man. The citrus and spiciness on this one is fantastic. I love the nose on here. And I'm you know, going like, what the fuck? There's no, like, I do 8 ounces of, like, there's no, like, where are you getting spice from? Like, where are you getting citrus from? So, like, I was like, anytime I smell a stout, I'm like, man, the paprika on here is fantastic.
Paprika.
It's just, like, great. Like,
just to throw someone off completely.
Oh, yeah.
Hungarian smoked paprika. If you want to get really specific.
It's our Hungarian smoked
habanero
beer.
Is fantastic. Is there chorizo in this? I love it. Yeah, so fennel is my favorite
you
one.
You were cooking breakfast burritos when you were brewing this beer, weren't you?
This
I'm okay with that.
Fly guts and worm jerky in it.
This has a Shawshank Redemption smell in here. Is that okay? Like, yeah,
I'll
fine.
Get weird if you want.
No, but guys, thank you so much for sitting here at the table. And Jack, thanks for letting us pillage your fridge.
Boop.
It was really cool.
Boop.
I can't wait because we're doing at least one more episode to Jack's fridge.
Four,
at least one more.
Yeah, yeah. I think We have plenty of material for
Jeff
Lauren, second
episode. Are we down for at least one more Jack's Fridge episode? At least at the house, because at the house has probably.
Oh, of course.
No, I brought the house ones here today. The ones we drank today
we'll
were
go
from
your
my
house on the next one.
We'll go to your
we'll
house.
We'll take ones we want for next time
from the place we'll sit, to the house and do that.
Which we should have done today.
No,
it's
but
way nicer up
Lauren,
there right
thanks
now.
For bringing beers from your fridge to help tonight. And Jeff, thank you for being here, guys. Literally, I look up to you guys so much, and.
Likewise.
Whether you stay or leave the industry, I will follow you guys until I die, personally. But,
don't die.
Don't die. I'm not trying to, but I have a Prius. I'm pretty safe. And a bidet. I'm pretty safe. Like, I'll be fine,
keeping
guys.
That colon cancer at bay.
Fuck you guys. Get a bidet.
You gotta teach me a few things.
I don't know about the cured meats, though. That's not helping.
The fennel meats. Yeah. It's fine.
Fennel. All that fennel.
No, but Jack, thank you so much. I am so glad that we're bros. I'm so glad that I'm a colleague, and I have a man crush on you. Jeff, I'm so glad I met you. Honestly, you are one of the coolest guys I've ever met. And I'm just like, I love your creativity and your sense of knowledge. You're so professional, and you know how to do it. You know where to do it. You know why I do it. And if I could run a line in a shop like you do, that's awesome. And thank you so much for reaching out to me and do a collab with me. That's so cool, and being able to like give me a shot. Thank you.
Yes.
And Lauren. Welcome. I have another big crush on you. I've wanted to meet you for a long time now, and the fact that you came down with the pink boots and that episode, I mean, Julia told you, like, I was so nervous because, like, I had amazing women at my table, at the table, and I was just fucking
in awe.
Goo gaga. Like, I was like, oh, my God, these are amazing women in the industry that I work in, that I have the privilege of working in, and you are a heavy hitter. Like, you are awesome.
Truly.
Every time I see you, I love giving you a hug. I love seeing your emotion. You are nothing but love and joy, and your passion's palpable. Mm. It's awesome. Never, never let go of that for the love of God, please, or else I will smack you.
Yeah.
Don't let go of it.
Lauren, you inspire me too.
Yeah. You are awesome. Yeah. You really are incredible. So, guys, thank you so much for this episode. Thank you for letting us, giving me the time of your day. I know you guys have a busy schedule. You all are busy.
Yeah.
You have lives, but thank you for giving me a Friday night to just sit here at proper and talk beer. Thank you so much.
Wait. You think you're just going to get away like
yes,
giving us compliments and we don't get to compliment?
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. I'll start.
You
now
back
we can
that
go
up.
Around, okay?
I'm going to edit this out.
Oh, no, you can't. I'm going to close your computer. Hey, first of all, let's start number one.
First
thank
of all,
you so
I
much.
I got finger wag.
Right
you
got
just
finger
wagged my
right
finger
now.
In the
damn.
Air. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for bringing people together and giving them an excuse to come out and do this. Not that they are so busy that they can't, but they are so happy to do it, even if they were. So thank you for doing that. And then also, like, thank you for just being positive. Like, you are a cheerleader in the very best way. Like,
you really are.
We need that injection of positivity in this industry all the time, because everybody's always saying, like, oh, I don't make enough to do this forever. Oh, like, I'm getting burnt out. And you are right there being like, no, don't worry. You're
don't
doing great.
Do it.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
somebody loves you.
Shit. It hasn't gone
you're
unnoticed.
Like, oh, my God. I don't want to taste my sister's podcast. Like, look, I guess I'm doing okay. I'll keep doing it. Like, people are stoked about it. Like, and yes, just like, please, please, please keep doing what you're doing. Keep learning, keeping third generation strong. Okay.
Yeah, I'm third generation. I
love glad that stuck. Third generation.
Yes.
It's just in my head.
I like that.
Trend right there.
Third
like
generation
that.
Beer artist right here.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't stop.
I love being an artist.
Seriously. Yeah. You can't get away from that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, guy. I have like
everything
a,
she said is totally accurate. I don't think any one of us would get so much of a reinvigorated without people like you. Like, you're bringing us together when normally we would just see each other in passing, and now we get to see each other sit down.
You guys
have
are meant
beers,
to be like
all
this,
that kind
this,
of stuff.
This kind of thing needs to happen. Like, you
no,
guys are
this
meant
kind
to
of
sit
stuff,
here and
this is the kind of shit that's going to keep putting Utah on the map for beer
for sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So your work is
fundamental.
It's not just kissing your ass. Yes. It really is. God, we'll look back on this in like 10, 15 years, and it's like,
man,
no,
that was
the genesis right there.
Remember when we were all babies talking
Genesis
about
chapter 5
in the small brewery.
When we could drink 4 or 5 sours and a few barley wines in a row.
Yeah, exactly.
And now we can only handle 1 barley wine. Like, I'm going to bed. Like, fuck this shit.
Gals calling me, come home. I got to go home for dinner.
We could keep gushing all night, but really what you're doing is hugely important, and you know, it doesn't go unrecognized.
I'm just here to
none
help
of us
you
could,
guys
none
out.
Of us could say that it
no.
is a burden to be here right now. I think this is the best possible use of my Friday.
Same.
I'll say that right now.
Same. Like, fuck that. Strap Tank is getting put on the map from your work. You're in Derek's work, your podcast, everything. Like, what you do, you are good at what you do. Like, don't shy against that. Like, that brewery is becoming what it is because of the work of you and Derek, you know? Yeah. So it's,
and
you cannot.
Sorry.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I only really
Julia,
deal with you for the most part. So
right. I got you.
It might be a disconnect
Julia
in my head.
Julia holds herself short, but she is fucking, she's killing it with kettle sours.
She's
absolutely
silent killer.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So the work of you three, just
keep it up.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah.
I didn't mean, this wasn't about, this was about
no,
me.
And
it
don't
about
stop.
You.
And honestly,
I'm
looking forward to GABF because, you know, especially that, what'd you bring that?
What'd you bring?
It was the
Chicken
Vienna Lager?
Vienna
or the
Vienna Lager we brought? We brought a flathead, we got a hazy seltzer, a lactose seltzer.
Yeah, there you go. Clean as hell. Like, I think there's big things in store because of the work of you guys.
We got potential, for sure. Yeah, but like I said, like, I went into that competition. I'm kind of glad, this is going to sound really kind of sick as fuck, but like, I'm glad we didn't medal because we're still like, we opened in 2016, for Christ's sakes. You guys have been doing it for years, right?
This facility opened in 2016.
But then you went to 1994?
Yeah.
19,
probably.
The facility 96? Was 94, right? But
anyway, I think so.
Nonetheless.
BrowCon came online in 2014.
There you go. And the thing about it is, if we're making a big stink about like something like it's growing, it's I'm learning, right? And I was humbled the fact like, people like, hey, you guys have a great grasp on like the beginnings of it, but like, let's hone it in. Yes, how do I hone it in? Like, I'm excited. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like,
yeah.
Hey,
well, that's the fun of it.
Like Derek came to me like, hey, let's go back to the books. Okay, cool, yeah, let's go. Like,
that's
ready.
Thing, yeah.
Let's go. I'm
well,
so excited.
Well, and that's how you know you got the right people is,
let's do it.
You're always learning.
Oh, I love
if
it.
If people think they learned it all, then that's the wrong people to be working for.
Well, even,
you have to.
Even
you
Kevin,
have to always be
Kevin
willing
Templin
to learn.
Told me he's like the first 90% cakewalk. I can do it. All day, but that last 10%, honing it in, oh man.
There's a reason why they do
lifetime.
It so well is because that motherfucker is always learning.
He's always learning.
Exactly. Yeah. And the reason why they're successful and why he wins what he wins is because he
that
has
last
never done 10% learning.
Is he's trying
yes.
really hard to be
I
there.
Lose sleep, and I know Jeff does, over that last 10, 15% because that fluctuates.
Yeah.
Like, what you think you know is this,
he told
and
me
then it and
like
expands and contracts yeah. like this, mm-hmm. like that last 10%. Mm-hmm. And you could say, oh, man, we're dialed, like we've figured it out. We've
cool,
got
like
these
he's and then, perfect to German yeah. beers, this
but then,
and that, but
then the next
oh,
week
did
you're
I
like,
perfect
oh,
it
this
to
is
the
what
next
I have to
step.
Make now? Mm-hmm. This is what I have to do now? This is the hot
yeah.
trend? So you have to, like, expand your knowledge.
Well, and now,
by, yeah.
you know, TF, for
five,
example, it's
you know?
Like, oh, cool, like, he's perfect at German style, but, like, then all of a sudden, now the fucking blue motherfucker makes, like, the best hazies out there. It's like, oh, yeah. why?
Here's a
because
West Coast.
He studies and
yeah.
he learns and he,
yeah.
and he
exactly.
pays attention.
I like that. Yeah.
He pays attention.
And I love
remember
that.
The year that I had left Red Rock and he'd gone off to do TF Brewing and, like, I reconnected with him and I was like, oh, you went and judged GABF. How was that? He's like, oh, it's good. I judged Hazy's. And I was like, I laughed. I was like, how was that? He's like, I'm learning a lot.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
like, I'm going to make a Hazy beer. I'm like, who the fuck are you? Like,
right.
what? He's damn, you are growing and growing and growing.
Yep.
And the humble.
And like, that's a big thing.
That's 20
know?
Years in the industry and he's still not afraid to keep learning.
But
he's
I told,
not
I,
shutting
I told
it
him
off.
This last week and I said, I remember the first time I ever met him, he was in the middle of doing something. He dropped everything, every fucking thing, to give me and Joel, the cider maker from Mountain West, the 100% of his day. He was right there. What do you need? How can I help you? Dropped it. And I'm like, motherfucker.
Oh, he's...
That must be nice.
Oh, my God.
No, he's...
Right, but he did it. He did it.
No, he's,
and I'm
he's,
like...
He's a fantastic
guy. And I told him, I'm like, I geek about you. Like, holy shit. And he's like, so when are you going to bring me on the podcast? Whenever you want. Episode 100. Come on, please.
He's, right. Honestly, yeah, he's just got mad knowledge. It's crazy to talk to
but like,
with him.
But, like, that's just one of many in our industry. Like, we have...
And he's like fantastic. That first generation I was talking about, but he was the one that was always just like,
yeah,
just like hanging out, just let everyone be who they wanted to
be.
He's
still a big name.
And just wanted to make
he's
sure
still
everyone
awesome,
succeeded.
And his family's great, and his facility's great, and mm-hmm. he has the best, fuck him for having the best Hellas and Keller. Like, oh, I love it.
I hate him because of his German beers.
I know. They're fantastic.
Honestly. Yes. Every time I talk to him, the only thing I could think was like, so like at Idaho,
Kevin, you're
it was
too
like,
good.
If
so,
I die.
So technically it was like, so
you.
The base beer for Whispers truly. is a traditional German smoked Hellas. I do it with like, you know, Jack and I really mold the recipe into what it needs to do. It you know, it wins for fruited, but all I wanted to be like was, fuck, I wish it was just a traditional smoked Hellas,
nice Hellas.
And I could be like, hey, Kevin, I'm getting on that German train
so
with
I told
you.
My wife this the other day. I go, on my tombstone, if I die, I say, God damn, I didn't work for TF. Like, fuck.
Yeah, there you go.
No, what did I do wrong in life?
God damn it.
They're that new crop of just like, it's that overly perfected brewery that Utah hasn't seen yet. Mm-hmm. I saw it a lot in Oregon. I've seen it a lot in Washington when I was up in the Pacific Northwest. They're that new, just like everything is pristine, perfect, and everything. And you're going to see a lot more of those pop up over the next little bit.
I sure
but
hope so.
TF really put it on the map
and
for that.
And set the bar high.
Yes,
sure.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I... And I've known Kevin for a lot of time and judged with him and Ben Edmonds over at Breakside. And he's just always the sweetest guy, always willing to lend a helping hand and just
that's
always.
That's how it should be.
Exactly.
This family we have in Utah needs to be that way and needs to yeah. stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
If not, fuck off. Mm-hmm. Seriously.
Yeah, because you're just you're just in the way at that point. If you yeah. don't realize it's
come on, we're
supposed
all in together.
To be just fun.
It's Utah. If you want to go somewhere else, go somewhere else.
Yeah, go somewhere else.
But guys, thank you so much for spending this night with me and the beers we've had. Like, good God, I will not forget this night.
No.
So, is there anything you guys have?
I don't think
for
we
me?
Should. So we should probably stop now.
Is there anything you guys? Is there anything else you guys need to say, or anything I can do for you guys? Is there anything I can help you guys be better brewers or better?
Be humble. Drink lager.
Drink lager,
yeah. Yeah, drink lager beers.
Lager all day.
In the name
fuck
of
hazies.
Jesus, lager. Amen. Okay, well, we'll end on this. Yeah. Until the next lager, my friends.
Till the next Gross. Lager.
Salud.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter @TheTastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow @Fuse_Audio.